This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hokey smokes, boys and girls, look what you've done. You've chosen to spend another evening with us here in Studio C. It is I, Clayton McKee, alongside Kat Carlson and Al Perkins. We are yet undecided as to whether or not Marnie Ryer will make an appearance this evening.
Unknown.
Maybe late, but she'll get here.
We never know with her.
Maybe.
She said
there's been no word as of yet. Yeah?
Right, nothing. At press time, there was no confirmation
yeah.
of what the hell she's doing. But anyway, hi everybody. My God, the chat room's already bubbling over with people. Drew and Joe D and Aaron from LA. And of course, I'm there. Al's there. And of course, Kat Carlson. She's somewhere in there. I saw it earlier. Hi everybody. Welcome once again. Show number 264. It is the 31st day of May 2016 right here in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you for being with us. Hi. Oh, we've made it another week, and we're on the cusp. We have not had real heat yet in Phoenix, but we are on the way.
That yeah. train, she's a coming.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I was Thursday. In my car at 4 o'clock and still not 100 degrees. So
wow.
We might have had 100 degree day snuck in, but it hasn't happened yet. And we're at May 31st. I thought it was June 1st.
We had we did have one 100 degree day earlier in the year, and that's all we've had so far.
It's a Christmas miracle.
But next, I think Thursday it's supposed to be 107, and then Saturday it's like 400.
On Saturday now.
But we did all voluntarily move to the desert.
Oh, absolutely!
So,
yes. I'm certainly not opposed to it. I'm fine, and my air conditioning is buried at 68 right now, and enjoy it because that's where it's going to stay for probably until October.
I'm just leaving town.
Mostly. Well, that's true. That's true. You mentioned that earlier. You're just about to.
Yep,
I'm
30 days from vacation.
Uh-huh. Oh, good for you.
And we were talking, Al and I were talking just, was it yesterday, about the fact that your big desire for vacation hasn't really kicked in, because usually the desire for vacation is to run from the heat.
Yeah, and it's been so pleasant here that I'm like, why would I go somewhere, like I did, like I went to Colorado. Why would I leave beautiful, perfect weather to go somewhere and watch it fucking rain?
except for pot.
Well, that was really more a sociological experiment than it was a vacation.
Gotcha.
And really more of a door prize than
an opportunistic trip.
Door prize.
Yes.
Gift with purchase, if you will. As long as you purchase it.
Oh, you're
right. And pretend it's a gift.
And the gummies. There's that.
Like they do at Ulta.
Yeah.
Gift with purchase, $39.95.
No. Serves four. Or depending on how big your party is, maybe just a few. Who knows? Oh,
maybe just one if you're a big fatty. You don't know.
I know you can't see those shoes, but they are gorgeous. And all the shoes in our Hefty Hoofer line are slip-ons. No bending over. I love that. That's a Net Mad TV.
I made the people at work watch that a couple weeks ago.
I enjoy that so much. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google Mad TV full figure. I think it's called full figure model or something to that effect. It's a very funny skit that they do with regards to the hostesses are very skinny and all the plus size models are all sashaying out on the runway. And one of the things they say is it's elephantine elegance.
Oh. Not so everyone nice. Can be a plus size model.
I can't.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just talking about funny videos the other day, and of course I had to bring up like the greatest hits of Mad TV.
Yes.
Right.
The Oprah on Jackass, the elephantine models, just hysterical.
So many different things, yes. So Kitty Cat Carlson, what you doing? What you been doing?
Well, let's see. We finally made it to a Mercury game.
Wow. Oh, very
now it's season. It's that season now.
Yeah.
It's Mercury season. And so we took the kids on Sunday, and we've decided that we're the good luck charm because Mercury had yet to score a win this season, and they got their first win because we were there.
Oh,
it's very nice.
Lesbian luck, if you will.
I'll tell you what.
My gosh. Lucky lesbos.
God's honest.
Yeah, and didn't run into too many people that I awkwardly didn't want to talk to.
Because you could.
I often do. I often do at the game.
Sure,
yeah, oftentimes it's hey, Ken, how's it going? Are these your kids? And I'm just standing there going, uh-huh. I don't remember your name.
Yeah, oh, no.
I got no idea.
And hoping to forget it soon.
Yeah, and how fast can I walk away without being extremely rude?
I don't know.
And luckily the kids kind of give me that out. I'm like, oh, we got to go. Look at them go. They're running away.
Do you just not teach them, hey, give me like 7 seconds and start tugging my arm? Just tell them, here, you're my out, kid. So you fail this, no more Wi-Fi for you.
Oh, no. Seriously, they already nag worse than I could even.
Oh, than you could hope for?
Than I could ever hope for.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't even remember what I promised the kid this last week, and I looked at him at one point, and I was like, if you ask me for it again, you can't have it at all. Shut up, it's coming.
Don't ask. I will
be patient. Stop talking to me about it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so we did that, and then had the Memorial Day, and I worked, and that was fun.
Where were you on Memorial? Were you at Cobalt?
Yeah, Cobalt. Oh, you? We had an afternoon show, and good times were had by all.
All of them. Both
all
people.
All of them. Sure. Yeah, both people at the Cobalt. No, it was busy, and it was fun, and that was nice, and that's how I spent my Memorial
Day.
We'll
take a quick gander over at the Cobalt, see what's going on. No, not much. Not okay, well, there's that.
We've aligned them, and it's such a lovely space.
and pays my rent.
Yeah.
And it still cracks me up that we do
that. And yet we do that.
Every week we
actually,
do
what's really funny is it was genuinely dead again.
genuinely. It's not artificially dead.
No, because sometimes you take a picture in a bar and the people are just not in the shots.
Yeah.
And sometimes you take a picture in a bar and there's really no one else there.
Right. Well, that bar, if nobody sits really on that side. Everybody's either outside or around the bar in more the general gathering area.
Right.
Well, the GG, general gathering.
But yeah, I was going to take a picture and post another one, but then I figured Jeffrey would see it and make a sad face.
Aww. He'd be a sad emoji.
But other than that, we're just getting ready to head camping and escape the sudden heat.
Escape the heat.
Yeah, so we're going on the big trip with all the other families. So I spent my day today like making the meal plan and then making the grocery list from the meal plan and then going shopping.
Now, what do you guys normally do? I'm assuming, do you take a lot of pre-stuff with you or do you literally cook live?
You know, some of each. The kids are addicted to this thing called walking tacos, which is like, you know, all your taco meat and toppings.
I'm interested to understand.
It's very
this.
Fun. Okay. It's very fun. You make your taco meat, and then you have your toppings, your lettuce, your tomatoes, your sour cream, your cheese, whatever you like.
Well, a cooking show on Q-Talk.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get all your taco, everything ready, but instead of putting it in a shell or a tortilla, you literally, in a white trash way, get individual size bags of Doritos or Fritos or whatever your flavor, smash them up so they're tiny little crumbs, you fill the bag with all the taco goodness and stir it right up.
The taco goodness.
And if your fine motor skills are up to the task, you can eat it directly out of the bag. Or if perhaps you have a little, you know,
inebriation, yeah.
Open the bag and it then becomes a plate and it's delicious. And that's what the kid was nagging me about. He's like, are we going to do walking tacos?
Walking tacos.
You know what?
I enjoy that.
Say walking tacos one more time and we're not going to have them.
Oh, listen to her. Be all
more time.
But it's a very easy thing to do while you're camping. Like, there's no cleanup. There's very little prep. It's a very easy thing to do for a party, too. I've done it several times for a party, and you make a big crock pot of the meat and put out all your accessories, mm-hmm. and chips, and people just eat the bejesus out of it.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, so we'll do that, and then I'm going to, because we're only there for 3 nights, so I'm going to prep the rest of the dinners in a foil pack so I can just pull it out of the cooler, fling it on the grill, walk away from it for 20 minutes.
Pulling and flinging, she's into that. My gosh.
Yeah, but I've done all of it. I've been camping for a long time, so I can make spaghetti on the campfire. I can I can do cinnamon rolls. I can do everything by campfire.
You're
a witch. I can do some crazy amazing things, but I feel lazy and like I'm going to be drunk more than. Oh, you know,
I love a woman who plans ahead for her schedule.
Well, sure. And, you know, I just don't have the time to be cooking. So
the last time I went camping, I went with a Mormon. And they set up, like, a kitchen. It was very impressive.
Yeah.
They were prepared. And set up, like, they had all the, like, propane stove and a little, like, put the cooler in a place. And it had a little sink, mm-hmm. like a little water. So you could rinse out a dish while conserving water in the desert. And it went into something that you reused the water for some other shit. I don't know what the hell we were doing. But it was really funny because we ate, we threw a football a couple times, and then we just drank.
Right.
I enjoyed it.
The best laid plans. And then it turned freezing because the weather, we were up in the mountains, and the weather changed like on a dime.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we were in a storm, and the next morning we woke up, and it looked like the Wizard of Oz had gone through. Like,
no.
The house began to twitch. I mean, it was just, it was craziness, the storm that we were in this little tent. And we were all like huddled together like, what if we die here?
Yeah, and we're not quite so high.
And we were all too.
That.
And the option was, well, somebody should get in the trunk. We were too drunk to pack up the campsite, and way too drunk to drive off the mountain. So it was like we
got to
just lay here with the booze inside the tent and hope
and
they find us. Oh, I have a headline to go along with that.
Oh, very nice. I love it. It's almost a segue, but you haven't mastered it like old Carlson over here. Mm-hmm. She's got it.
It'll come up later.
All right. Well, it should. When it's later.
Yeah, we're not quite so high tech as all that. I've got a tailgating grill that's very compact and sets up very nicely that I can use for all the things and pots and pans and dishes and all that kind of garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I spent a lot of today getting ready, and tomorrow I'll organize all the things.
Yeah, set up and breakdown and planning is like...
Planning's a lot of the key.
So then you got to stay long enough to make all of that shit worth it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you got to know when to get out before everybody smells too bad.
3 days.
Yeah.
Oh.
After the third day, everyone needs a bath.
Yeah. Even if you're near a stream and have gone in and played, you still get kind of ripe out there.
Third day. Well, we grew up doing this. We would go and create an entire city, like all of my aunts and uncles and great aunts and uncles and people I'm not even sure how the fuck I'm related to them.
The Carnies?
Except
for through camping. Like, I can't on the family tree place them, but they showed up at the camping trip every year.
Mm-hmm. Can't on the tree. Can you show me where you came in? What limb are you?
And we would do that. We would go spend about 2 weeks up there, and my mother would take us into town, and they would, you know, every couple of days, they would, like, make a deal at the YMCA or rent a hotel room or something. Like, every 3 or 4 days, they would take us into town, make us take a bath, and take us on back out to the lake. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Three days is the rule.
Hmm.
I remember when I was little, when you go to the ocean, back in the, you know, that phase where I didn't like bathing, so I would be like, well, I was in the pool in the ocean today, and my mother was like, all right. And then, like, day two, she'd be like, yeah, that worked yesterday. Today I'm hosing you down.
I have to admit.
You can grab the soap or it comes with the hose. Like,
we're going to the car wash. She's going to wand you down.
I have to admit, I will totally accept I went swimming today as enough of a bath.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
All summer long.
I'm going to write that down.
It really is funny that I don't know what it is.
There's enough chlorine in every pool.
Like, to kill. And that's what
you're clean enough.
You stink like chlorine. You've been in that pool for hours.
Right.
What's another drop of water going to do?
Well, at least I don't smell like unwashed ass.
And that's how you sell it to Ruthie.
Yeah.
Mom, there's other things I could smell like.
Right.
Well, then you find out that, like, all kids go through a phase like that where there's some...
some aversion,
aversion to water.
My oldest is in it right now.
Everybody turns into the Wicked Witch of the West.
No.
Okay.
My oldest will tell him to go take a shower. And what did he have? He had some kind of like spray paint in his hair for school one day. And I was like, you have to go wash that out right now. He goes in, comes back out. And I look at him and like half of his head is still dry.
Well.
Dude, soap never touches your body, does it?
Yeah, let's give a lie that we can both believe in. We can both like ourselves as we listen to it.
Now, the older one, and forgive me for names. I don't.
Uh-huh, that's all right.
I don't recall. But anyway, this is the one that for some reason thinks I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
I will, the prerequisite of the deal that I already made with you.
I did not put that idea in his head.
No. I'm not saying you did. No, my stipulation based on what you just told me is
he has to bathe that day.
Before getting to my house,
the
day he's coming to help fix the lawnmower with me that day, he's got to bathe previously to his arrival.
Or at least go in the pool.
Or at least the pool. I feel like the pool is sufficient.
I don't have a, but I don't have a pool.
But
I do. I don't know what happens between the pool and here.
Well, a car. She does.
The van.
If it's immediately from pool to car to here, then fine. But no, none of this 2-3 hours in between.
That sounds fair.
I'm not risking.
I'm into
not risking. I mean, I got a fan in my workshop, so that might help.
Grab him by the back of his neck and just
dunk him in. Sure.
And he's a little young for like the teenage boy smell to have hit.
Oh yeah, because he's what, 10?
Yeah, he's
that 10. only what axe can cover. Only something as strong and powerful and miserable as axe can cover that.
Or pine saw.
I'm super excited. We signed another 2-year lease on the house that we live in because the kids' rooms are very, very far away from everything else. And we're excited about
If you won't bathe, please take this car freshener in the shape of a pine tree and wipe yourself down.
Just rub it all over
and
your body.
If you can't smell like soap, at least smell like Christmas.
And then close the partition door and just go away.
Maybe they could make a fashionable necklace out of those little pine trees. Just make him a little necklace. He just wears it around his neck. Because they come in all sorts of scents. They're not just pine. They come in all kinds of things.
Like next generation puka shells.
Yeah.
Oh, could be. Could be.
And you know, I think there's a little less shame in wearing like car pine trees than there is puka shells.
Yes. The irony. The irony of it.
That's funny.
my one woman outrage over puka shells has been going, if I can't see the beach, you can't wear the puka shells. Here's the rule.
Those of you in the chat room a few minutes ago were asking about weather here in Phoenix. I pulled this up. So right now, Phoenix, just a couple minutes ago, I pulled
breaking
up.
News. Look at
so
this.
There's our Tuesday, which is today. That's 97, 102 tomorrow. And then as the week goes on, this just gets up. Look at us, 114 on Saturday, according.
So Saturday is what the weather should be like in all through the end
for the rest of the year. Yeah. Right. But we're get a cooling trend come Monday. It'll only be 108. But
it's wonderful.
But remember, it's a dry heat.
And anything over 105, ice cream is just your God-given right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Once it hits 105, Dairy Queen is in the Bill of Rights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just experienced one of the things you forget about, which we'll get to in my segment, but humidity, again, I experienced this weekend. I forget about humidity and hills. Holy shit, did I forget about hills?
Both of those things sound terrible.
They were. They were very terrible. I think you just missed your mouth.
Molly Ringwald's going nuts because we're all eating.
We're all eating. Well, I haven't opened mine yet, but I will here in a minute. Ringwald, right.
that's what came out of your mouth.
Of course.
What?
You said Molly Ringwald.
Did I really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it. We'll have to go back and post and
edit that out.
I'm sure I can stay awake for 60 candles. Minutes of the show when I listen to it.
At least I'm not eating something crunchy.
Oh, that's a valid
point. So, Clayton, what I am. So what did you do?
Well, I went to L.A., which was a kind of a surprise trip that I was irritated about at first. But got it all figured out. It all worked out. And what was interesting for me about this trip, which I have a couple pictures, and you were nice enough to shoot me the address for where the Casablanca record studios, offices were in on Sunset. And for those of you who know anything about Donna Summer, one of her labels, early labels, was Casablanca Records. And there's a song called Sunset People. It is about people on Sunset Boulevard in L.A.
A little slice of life of 1979 in Hollywood, if you will.
So I found myself walking. Our hotel was on Sunset, so I walked. Once you're on Sunset, you're good because you're already above the fucking hill. So I was able to walk east and west on Sunset and be fine. Walking down from Sunset to Santa Monica was fine. The up from Santa Monica, holy God.
Terrible.
Holy God.
Stairmaster from hell.
Yes.
Hollywood Stairmaster.
At 2 in the morning, yeah. So here
that's
I am.
That's a challenge at 2
here
a.m.
I am standing at this building, the 8255 Sunset, that formerly was the Casablanca Records record building. Now I guess it's called Centel Films. I don't know much else about it. I didn't check into them. But I thought it was cool to stand there with my headphones, listen to Sunset People on Sunset in front of the building.
So the idea for Bad Girls came from right in front of that door.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
The office secretary got was harassed by a cop for being a prostitute.
Oh.
And she was like, no, I work in this building. I'm a secretary.
Oh. Just wearing something a little too...
Yeah, and the cop accused her of being a bad girl.
Oh. So then after I was there...
And a hit was born.
My goodness.
After I was at in front of this building, we walked just a mere 30 seconds down the street to Pink Taco and had lunch, which I'm sure there's a history. I don't know what the whole thing is. They have really great food. The staff was wonderful. But the interesting thing is I want to find out, and this was part of my time in L.A., was looking at all the old buildings. Like, for example, Sunset Towers apartments, or I guess, I don't know what you would have called it. I guess it would have been a hotel back in the day because it was a home. People lived there. Architecture and designed in 1929, and the Art Deco of it is just fantastic. But the history that you don't realize is there when you're driving around LA. You can't see it like if you're walking. So in this building, the Pink Taco building, the front facade is just crappy wood stuff. But when you go inside, all the archways are a very old red brick building, and that building has probably been there since the early 1900s, if not earlier than that. It's just very cool to see it and figure out there's other things going on more than just the shiny chrome and fancy buildings that are going on. There's just so much cool stuff to see otherwise. Mm-hmm. So that was my trip to LA, and then I jumped up Sunday morning, got a 2-hour earlier flight, got back into town because I was hosting an event here in town called The Sexiest Bartender. It's a local fundraising event. And it was the first time I was worked with season 7, RuPaul's Drag Race. She was the first queen kicked off of that year. She's from Tucson, Arizona. Her name is Tempest DeJour, and we worked together and had a very fun time. She's a very catty bitch, and we barbed back and forth and had a very good time.
I've seen her somewhere.
A local girl. Apparently, she says we've crossed paths before. I just don't recall it. But anyway, so that was fun. That was part of my Sunday, and then obviously yesterday was the Memorial Day. Spent all day with Jason Carlton running around town and doing different things. And then the cutest part, though, was when I got home, I Ubered to the event that I hosted on Sunday. And a little, you do your Uber selection, and then it tells you so-and-so's coming in whatever vehicle, and it said Ellen is coming in her Kia Soul.
Oh, good.
So I waited for Ellen, and when Ellen got here, she's got to be in her mid to late 70s. She's got the cutest little Kia Soul, little bitty white-haired gal with her glasses on and her big glasses on over.
Oh, Jesus.
We laughed the entire way to the hotel, talked about all kinds of stuff. She told me a story about her worst experience being a driver with with a certain couple that got in, and every other word that man said on the phone was that the F word or the N word. And she goes, and I had just had enough, so I stopped the cab and told him that he was disrespectful. And I'm like, that damn right you do that.
Yeah.
She got a little ding from them, but apparently Uber backed her up on it. And I was like, all right, bitch, I'm mad. So at the end of the run, the cutest thing is she says, Do you have a place to take a gift if I give it to you? And I'm like, well, sure, what are you doing? She goes, well, here. And she handed me a hand crocheted washcloth. She made
pot holder.
It had, I think she called it a washcloth. But it was all wrapped up in a little ribbon. Give it to her. I'm like, well, isn't that the cutest thing?
That is the cutest
thing. She just knits in her crochets or whatever the fuck this is in her spare time. I don't know. Is this crochet? Is this, what is this, knitting? What is it?
I don't know.
Look at it. Tell me. In your professional opinion.
In my professional opinion, that's knitting.
Oh, it's lovely. Whatever it is. Lovely. So I just thought that was cute that I got a little prize.
I don't think I know the difference.
I'm sure it's in an episode.
It's not Latchook artistry. It's all I know. Famous in your local Denny's in most of the 80s. Latchook artistry.
Do recall. Yes.
So the there's pink taco. Lesbian senses are tingling. Aren't they, though?
Oh, sure. I don't know if they serve that, but what I had was lovely. Cute little waiter who's his first day.
I'm going back to my mac and cheese,
yes. And Mr. Perkins, I know you worked at least one day the weekend.
I worked the whole weekend. Thursday, whole weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
That pretty much is the whole weekend. I checked.
Mm-hmm.
I did a movie before I went in, and now I'm all caught up on Kimmy Schmidt. I finished up.
I know, I finished that too. Let me tell you, drunk therapist Tina Fey is my new favorite.
That's my friend Gina.
Everything.
If you don't know my friend Gina Cerise in New York City is drunk therapist Tina Fey on Kimmy Schmidt.
I want to hang out with Andrea all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
All day long.
Oh.
It's Andrea.
Snooty bitch.
So much fun. So now I'm finishing up all of the things that I've been behind on. Like, I'm like a month behind on Entertainment Weekly's. There's like magazines all over my house begging to be read.
Oh, wow.
Just all the stuff I haven't gotten to as we finished up all the shows. So, I mean, it's not very exciting. It's hot now, so we're going into Netflix mode. So we're finishing
up. I know, I'm
almost
out of TV. I got to find something new to start.
Yeah, finishing up Homeland. I didn't watch that live, so finishing that up. And there's enough Orphan Blacks that I can jump into that without being pissed off that I have to wait
a
week.
That's a show, by the way. Not just orphaned black people. Yeah. For clarification.
I love that show, but I get very frustrated when I can't binge something now. So something that I binged the first two seasons.
Oh.
So to watch one episode and then be told, now you have to wait 7 days, fills me with the rage of a thousand suns. So there are certain shows that I just have to leave them and just watch them in one big thing. And that's what I did with Homeland, too, because Homeland had a bad third season, or maybe it was the second season. One of the seasons was not that great.
But,
oh, my God, they have come back guns a-blazing. And, like, I realized that I had not showered. I went to the store to get some nuts and berries and things to bring with me and various sundries for the house. And I'm like, I got to go get that now because I'm not going to get showered and do it. Well, then I'm sitting on the couch at 10 after 6 and I'm like, oh, fuck, I haven't bathed yet. Like, I went to the store in my pajamas because I'm like, yeah, it's that heat now.
Oh,
because I love this time of Phoenix where it's so hot that anything is acceptable outerwear as long as your nether
cares,
regions are,
right?
are covered by at least mesh.
Right. Yeah. Or tassels. Whichever.
And everyone has the same look on their face, like, judge me, I dare you.
Right.
Right, zombie apocalypse.
You drive there with oven mitts on because the steering wheel's so fucking hot. Hi, Jenny.
It really was just funny. And I'm seriously, like, I put underwear on under my pajamas, which I thought was friendly. Because the fly has a tendency to...
I think that's... Sure. Peekaboo, peekaboo.
Or you could put a button there.
And then yesterday...
Ooh, or a smiley face.
You and I met...
I meant a button to keep it closed.
Oh, no, I know what you meant. No, I meant on the outside so that the winker can't be seen.
The winker. My pink eye's winking at you. My pink taco's winking at you, baby. So,
stop winking at me.
That's a good question.
Yesterday, I took a short break from Hamilton for my bike ride to Macayo's. And as I was like riding my bike past Macayo's, I noticed where the bike rack was. So I circled the building because it was like you had to go. I went around the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I come around what's basically a dark corner. The bike rack is not in a great area for people that want to live another week.
Right.
So I don't I'm not thinking about what I'm singing out loud, but I'm listening to Let's Pretend We're Married by Prince. As I come around and I didn't there was nobody at the bike rack when I went around the front of the building. So I'm coming around singing Let's Pretend We're Married, and I realize as I'm like singing at the top of my lungs that there's a like a young lady with a cute little bike putting up
a shoelace-sized
lock around her bike. And
she doesn't
like
her bike.
I sincerely want to fuck the taste out of your mouth. And that's what, that's what I'm singing as I come around the corner.
No, it's funny. He didn't tell me this part of the story yesterday when I saw him.
Was she mildly uncomfortable?
Oh, she had a look of sheer terror in her face. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to stay like 500 feet away from schools now.
Well, you're lucky she didn't just start beating your ass with that shoelace bike lock. Those things hurt.
Yeah.
When we came out, he said, well, either her bike got stolen or she left on her own accord. Because her bike was gone.
He didn't lock his bike there because it's poorly lit. It's in a really scary,
kind of
sketchy part of the building.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, fuck, they're going to steal her bike. It's cuter and her lock is easy to get to. Like,
right.
Sure.
They're going to take hers first.
Yeah.
But it was just so funny that let's pretend we're married and go all night. And listen to that as I'm going around the corner from 1999. Such a good song.
Scared the hell out of her.
But the one point he says, I sincerely want to fuck that taste out of your mouth.
Please send all letters to
Al Perkins at KeepTalkAmerica.com.
Transcripts.
And I will have to
White
say,
Plains,
I mean,
New York.
Amina's saying that there's a reason why the rest of the world hates that show. And I have to wonder, and there's a joke here, Amina, in the States that SNL started a long time ago during a dispute where Showtime and CBS were off the air in New York. They were in a battle with, I think, with Time Warner Cable. Mm-hmm. And the joke was that white people really love Homeland. So it's kind of like a pro-white people show. Oh. And it's by the people that made 24. So there is that element of, like, it's always the ticking bomb and torture is the way out. There's a very real element to that in that show. And by the mm-hmm. people that made 24 as well, that there's that element of trying to, like, it's like pro-torture propaganda. But Homeland has kind of gotten away from that. Like, everybody's good guys and bad guys on that show. Like, there are no truly good characters on either side. So it's a little more ambiguous. But that has a reputation in America for that, too, of, like, it's very, like, it had that reputation at first of being, like, pro-white people, pro, like, American intervention, pro-torture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kind of like
but
this show.
Told in an interesting way with a female lead. So they get you in a couple different ways. But it's not as out. What's the word? It's not as overt as 24 Ooh. Was in the pro-torture
mm-hmm.
thing. I only watched a few episodes of that, and I was like, this is uncomfortable. I feel like I'm being sold something here. And then I found out that,
you're kind of being sold something. I don't like that.
White
like
supremacy?
No, like pro-torture.
Right.
Oh, pro-torture.
It was in the, you know, 24 came out in that whole Abu Ghraib?
Abu Ghraibing?
Yeah.
Abba.
And that whole thing, 24 has a really weird agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out these are the guys, they're involved. Like, it's the people that made Dexter and the people that made 24 getting together. That's who did Homeland.
I'm sure stimulating video radio is us eating mac and cheese.
Tough shit, people. I was hungry. And I left my credit card there, so I had to leave with mac and cheese.
Right.
No.
It's a justified return.
That's really what happened. I needed a reason to go to, or not, I didn't need a reason. I had to go to Pizza People because my Amazon Rewards Visa was left there because I get double rewards at restaurants.
Oh my God.
Or no. So I had to go pick it up, and I thought, well, I was stuck in traffic. I thought to myself,
why don't I just do that?
I feel like we should call them since their number is like most, it's the top of my, you know, recent phone activity because I had to call them to find the card. I said, gosh, it'd be really easy to just call them again and say, I pick up some mac and cheese while I'm there.
Yeah.
And look, everyone wins.
Uh-huh.
It is. It's a total winner around the table. I'll skate slowly. Okay, we're gonna figure out how to pull off headlines. I'm sure we're going to do a fantastic job. Coming up in just moments, it's
Q. You do?
Uh-huh. It's Q That's Talk nice. America. Stand by.
Carl!
You're listening to Q Talk America.
30 seconds of jelly fun. This is your 30-second dance break.
We'll be right back.
This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Okie doke, here we go. Headlines on a Tuesday night coming at you from Q Talk America. Again, it's May 31st, 2016, and here we go. Please press just once.
Python in Bangkok bites cock.
When I die, say it with an emoji.
Priest Jeroz Vatican's anti-gay guidelines has gay sex.
Like us. You really like us.
Down to three, because I did the same one twice. Parents of boy who fell into grill enclosure received death threats.
Pizza for child support.
Al's got nothing else.
And Jen Crouch is dead. What the hell do we do now? These and other stories right now. I didn't realize that you had run two together, apparently, and done that. I didn't want you to know what you'd done, so it's all right. Here we go.
You know what you did.
Well, there's little more satisfying than pressing a button and getting what you actually want. It's sort of a, you know, request, demand, gratification, instant, all that stuff. Adjusting the temperature in the office, for example, pressing the walk button at a crosswalk, making the elevator doors close so that you can get moving onto the floor that you really want the elevator to go to. There's only one problem. Each of those satisfying buttons could actually be a placebo that does nothing at all. Actually nothing at all. There are plenty of examples of buttons which do nothing, and indeed other technologies which are purposely designed to deceive the human species. In fact, the advent of computerized controls put a lot of buttons out of business. Buttons at crosswalks in many places are pretty much useless. For example, New York City actually deactivated theirs many, many years ago. Subway doors open and close automatically, and that thermostat in your office is most likely just an empty promise as well, designed to keep you from angrily calling the landlord or HVAC technician when you can't adjust the temperature on your own. So, but before you fall into an uncontrollable crisis about the futility of the world full of useless buttons, take solace. These placebo buttons could actually be good for you. Certain psychologists would argue that the buttons were indeed having an effect, just not on the traffic lights or the temperatures themselves. Instead, the effect is in the commuter's minds. It's all part of the illusion of control, an effect that can reinforce social structures as you wait at the crosswalk with your fellow button pushers, or even in the case of the thermostat, it can make you think it's warmer or colder when actually nothing else is happening. Now, I found the story came up only because
it's freaking me out. It's the Matrix all over again.
Uh-huh.
The story came up because while in LA, we were in LA discussing this topic. There is a city, and I couldn't find it. A city somewhere nationally that had revamped, you know, all of their streetlights and like had upgraded some infrastructure and took out all of the walk buttons because all of the intersections were automatic. It would always give with the way of traffic. It would always give you walk. The people in the city lost their minds and were just writing letter after letter after letter to the city because we want our buttons. Where's our button? I need to walk. When I want to walk, I want to walk.
Yeah.
So what they did is they actually went out, bought a bunch of fake buttons and put them on the fucking poles and everybody shut up.
Yeah.
Doesn't connect to anything, doesn't do anything, just makes them think that they're controlling the world. Oh, thought that was funny.
I didn't realize that some of the buttons, if you go with the flow of traffic, it's shorter. Then if you hit the button, then you get long enough for a pedestrian to cross.
Oh, I know.
Like
that.
On a light that has to cross a busy street, it'll only give you enough time for like three cars to pass the intersection. But if you hit the button, it'll go like the whole time that it takes.
Mm. Or maybe
whatever
you just
the slowest.
Think
that. No, and it gives you the noise too. I noticed it with the noise that some of them
across
Camelback.
Because you like count the beeps.
Because it doesn't give you the blind.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't give you the guide noise if you don't hit the button.
Oh, okay.
And then if you hit the button, you get the noise for the blind, and it's longer, and it counts down from, like, 24 or something like that instead of...
Oh. Mm.
Yeah.
I'm not a pedestrian in the city often enough to notice that.
Yeah, I'm not either. Often, it's only when we do AIDS walk downtown, it seems like I have to cross and walk and cross and walk in certain places.
Right.
Other than that, you're right, I'm really not a pedestrian either.
I ride my bike all the time, so...
Yeah.
I use the same facilities as the walkers.
Facilities. Absolutely. Oh, facilities.
No, but I'm in my car.
Yeah.
Except for AIDS walk and I think like one other thing. I just drive to wherever I'm going.
Yes.
I've been a pedestrian in other cities and like Salt Lake, for instance, the noise is there regardless. Like the walk noise and the stop noise is there all the time,
mm-hmm.
all day long. So I didn't know that it was conditional on the button here.
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, there you go.
And I don't know if that's everywhere, but I know it is along the light rail.
Okay.
Yes.
That's where I discovered it.
Well, because those people riding that light rail sometimes are special. And
like Columbus discovering America. I discovered something that was already happening and
already
claimed it as my... I planted a flag in that ass.
Look at you go.
There you go. Alfie?
Oh, and our numbers are... Nero and... Don Don and Jenny and Amina, Jodie, Aaron, people. Everyone's chatting with each other. All right. So, here we go. An anti-gay preacher carrying a... Oh, I did have two. I'm so sorry. They just had such similar... it turns out it was about both about priests that were horrible people. Can you imagine?
Oh, shocker. I have a religious story, too, coming
up.
So
an anti-gay preacher carrying a You Deserve Rape sign has been attacked with a baseball bat.
Good for him.
Brother Dean Saxton...
figure out how he was attacked by that
...who
bat.
Lives in Glendale, Arizona, was, was hit with a bat while he stood outside a school with a You Deserve Rape sign. Known for spreading hate speech, Saxton often preaches anti-gay sermon and is seen in this particular video, though we're not going to show, outside the Valley High School. Saxton is seen as a video published on YouTube saying, the Bible says it's not okay to be gay. He goes on to say, you need to stop looking up naughty, nasty things on the internet. And he makes the hate speech. Various students and teachers approach him and denounce what he is saying, peacefully challenging him on his views. One teacher says, I think you're a disgrace to Christianity. Why don't you go and preach it to somebody who really wants to hear your message, like Westboro Baptist Church. Then a student attacked him while he's still on camera. Students and staff nearby are seen celebrating as Saxton is clearly dazed by the blow. He is later seen walking away with blood dripping from his head. Tabitha Brubaker, 19, was arrested and charged with felony assault and marijuana possession after the attack. That's a shame.
Aww.
After the attack, Saxton denied that he was responsible for the attack by inciting the violence. He called the attacker an LGBT monster. We don't condone violence, but if you're standing out somewhere saying you deserve to be raped,
right.
you deserve to be hit by a baseball bat.
Whatever comes your way. But if you feel the urge to smack somebody in the head with a baseball bat, please just... dump your weed in the gutter first.
Yes.
You don't need the additional charges.
Right, and we don't want people thinking that pot smokers are violent.
They normally just want to sit down with the baseball bat and just have a burger. Or Cheetos or Wheat Thins, like what you got there. Something like that.
I mean, this was all over the news, and this guy is like,
somehow missed
you deserve to be raped, and then he's saying, well, I don't deserve to be hit by a baseball bat. Yeah, you kind of do.
You hateful son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
You're wishing
that on someone else, so someone just made, they could have shoved the baseball bat up your ass and raped you with it.
Because you deserved
made it.
It
clear that it was deserved.
Yes.
Would that have made you feel better?
Because someday you'll be them.
Yeah.
It's us and them. Someday you'll be them.
You'll be them.
And
you're going to go to prison for somebody. And you're going to deserve to be raped because you held up the sign and said so. That's on you.
As long as it's legitimate rape.
My apologies. It turns out gay clergy are all over the news.
Oh my God. Well, we'll get to them. Another story from you in just moments. A winking face emoji announced the death of a beloved grandmother in a Spanish newspaper on Saturday, and it looked something like this one right here. In fact, here is the...
That means I'm dead?
Spanish.
Oh.
Here's the actual death notice from the newspaper. Carmen Bustamante Barango had told her children that when she died, she wanted to be remembered in her hometown with her favorite symbol. After she died in her home in Barcelona at the age of 75 on Friday, her offspring immediately put her plan into action. On Saturday, the announcement of her death was published on page 38 of the newspaper and on its website as well, complete with the cheeky graphic emoji, which is more commonly associated with electronic messages and other websites. Quote, she finished her journey in this world at her home, the notice read. She was a character and a great mother who never stopped being a child, her son wrote in the obituary. He said that she communicated with her children via instant messaging app you can have on your phone called WhatsApp, kind of like Facebook Messenger or the like, and that the winking face emoji was her very favorite. She wasn't religious, and she told the family that if any religious symbol appeared in her death notice, she would come back to life and come looking for them.
Good for her.
Acabó su viaje en este mundo en su casa. So, yep, she finished her journey in this world in her house.
Oh, there you are.
Good for her.
Thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah, that is cute.
Winking grandma. Winky. There you go.
So in a similar story...
Second preacher who's gay?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the priest who wrote the Vatican's anti-gay guidelines accused of sex with male seminarians.
Oh, that sounds dirty.
A French priest who has written disparagingly about gay people and acted as a counselor to student and novice priests struggling with their sexuality has been accused of having sex with male clients. It's just too much to believe.
It really is. And can I get a phone number?
Monsignor Tony Anatrella, who earlier this year told new bishops they are not obligated to report a suspected abuser to authorities
because
you deserve rape, is still regularly consulted on matters of sexuality by the Vatican. One of his accusers said that Anatrella engaged in various sex acts with him in the Monsignor's Paris office, with the activity allegedly occurring up until a few years ago. The victim claims Anatrella said he could rid him of his pseudo pseudo-homosexuality by performing sex acts.
Wow.
Show me on my body where you want to touch others.
I'm going to fuck the gay out of you is what he said.
Oh, that tastes right out of your mouth.
Fuck the gay out of you.
Fuck the taste right out of your mouth. According to Religion News Service, the victim added that although he reported Anatrella to the Archbishop of Paris in 2001, nothing was done. Another ex-seminarian alleges that he was counseled by Anatrella for 14 years up to 2011, and that after the first few years, the Monsignor began special sessions that included episodes of mutual masturbation.
Well,
I'm watching episodes of Homeland. It's not the same. Earlier this month, the Archdiocese of Paris acknowledged that in 2014, the current Archbishop of Paris received a written complaint about Anatrella, but the church could not pursue the matter because the complaint was made anonymously.
Oh.
Yeah. But he allegedly, this Anatrella, helped the Vatican to write guidelines aimed at keeping gay men out of the priesthood. He wrote an article in the Daily Observer stating that homosexuality was like an incompleteness and a profound immaturity of human sexuality. He argued that homosexuality is a problem in the psychic organization and said that for theological reasons, the Catholic Church can only ordain men mature
and horny
in their masculine identity.
Right.
He also provided a list of warning signs that led us to marry.
You know, I like that he added a bunch of first-hand knowledge here. This is my favorite.
A list of warning signs that a seminarian is gay.
Okay.
These included students who had trouble relating to their fathers, tended to isolate themselves, viewed themselves as victims, and looked at pornography on the internet. That's all men. You just described
all
living men with access to a computer.
Why doesn't it say smoking purse?
Right.
I figured it would be in there. Gowns.
Yeah, exactly. Men in dresses.
Right, nice hats.
Yeah, exactly.
All of the Catholicism.
Overly adorned caps or burning purses. Yes. In February, he organized a conference on priestly celibacy at the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome. If that doesn't sound like Liberty University
PGU.
Or Trump University, the Pontifical Gregorian University.
The PGU.
Learn how to mutually masturbate with a priest.
Right and left.
Yeah. Learn how to lift the robe and give the blowjob, lower the robe and make it back to your seat in church.
And leave with a Kit Kat.
So many things happening. I just can't even process them all. I was going to try and do a diagram of the story, and I couldn't.
I don't think you can.
I just couldn't. It's too much information.
I agree.
Too much information.
Are we done stroking that story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mutually.
Wanted to check.
It's another in a long line of...
Kat, I want you to pay particular attention to this, because this...
Should I put this my
is from
down?
Your this is from your home state?
Oh.
Your home state of Utah.
You may
recognize
how
this
many Utes.
Mm-hmm. A Utah apartment complex that ordered its tenants to like the property on Facebook is now backpedaling as the internet lashes out against the bizarre requirement, and it all blows up in their face. This lovely establishment, I don't know if you know of the City Park Apartments up there in the Utah area. Tenants at the City Park Apartments in Salt Lake City spoke out against the policy after finding the Facebook addendum taped to their doors last Thursday. Those who did not like the complex within 5 days of signing their lease would be found in breach of their lease agreement and risk being kicked out of the complex. Residents also had to let City Park Apartments post pictures of them and their guests on Facebook pages and were forbidden from posting any negative comments about the complex on any public forum or page, otherwise, again, breaking your lease agreement. Quote, I don't want to be forced to be someone's friend and be threatened to break my lease because of that, tenant Jason Ring told KSL News. It's outrageous and, as far as I'm concerned, just stupid. While residents were predictably angered, so were many social media commenters. Since issuing the addendum, City Park Apartments has racked up an overwhelming negative review list on Yelp, where it currently boasts a one-star rating, as well as on apartmentratings.com. An unofficial Facebook page for the complex also shows a 1.1-star rating. Some of the Facebook and Yelp users are going so far as to call the policy fascist. A tenant lawyer who spoke to KSL News said the addendum was likely illegal because it potentially discriminated against the elderly, the poor, and people who simply chose not to ever have Facebook. The controversial addendum was intended to provide, quote, provide some protection to the apartment complex's residents and its owners from usage of photos on its Facebook page from all community events. The law offices of Kirk A. Cullimore, representing City Park Apartments, told the Huffington Post this on Tuesday, earlier today, in fact. The addendum that appeared on residents' doors went way beyond what the complex intended and was not carefully reviewed before its release, the firm stated. At no time was any resident in jeopardy of eviction or action from the City Park staff for failure to sign the addendum or friend City Park Apartments on Facebook. City Park has not implemented the addendum, nor is it requiring its residents to execute it, the statement continued.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's kind of bullshit.
No, total bullshit.
It's a lot of bullshit, and I'm curious to know, like, who thought that was a good idea? There's got to be some...
There's some Yahoo behind us that really thought they were onto something.
Some on-site manager that thinks that, oh, well, we need a better Facebook rating, or...
Yeah, that's not how any of this works.
I unfriend you.
Yeah. That's kind of what I have in my mind, is it someone who's just not quite sure
Sure what it's all about.
Maybe if everybody likes it.
Force everyone who lives here to like it.
And never says anything bad about the complex.
And I could see, I mean, I could honestly see if, like, if you have something bad to say, please don't post it on a public forum. Please come to us first. You know what I mean? That's kind of like a policy for work, too. Like, don't bitch about your job without going to the appropriate channels first before you trash the place you work and make it seem like it's not a good place to go.
Just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean that this needs
don't
to
take
be on the
but
internet.
At the same time, what the fuck? No. Like there's a course of action that you could like suggest or maybe put up there.
Sure. Offer them $5 off of next month's rent. Every motherfucker in that apartment complex would go like your page.
Right, and I always say that about Yelp too. Go and talk to a manager, talk to whoever is working. See if you can get like resolved whatever you found so offensive before you go on and write these scathing reviews that made it sound like they kidnapped your family and put them through Saw 6. No. This time it's personal. You know what I mean? Like, I read those reviews on Yelp. I'm like, you stayed one night in a hotel
in a 1-star hotel, by the way.
Right.
For $35 a night, and this is your review.
You saw bugs. Yes, that's horrible. You got to go.
Whenever I see, like, a potential terrible Yelp reviewer in front of me at the bar, I tell them a different name.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What was your name again? Travis.
And I like, I'll go through, like, when I go out of town, because I travel by myself a lot, and I'll do, like, top 10 things to do in the town and just look at the list, but then I never go through and read.
Because
especially if somebody's like, oh, that guy's an asshole. Because he was an asshole to you. That doesn't mean he's an asshole. Maybe you're the asshole in these stories.
You were asshole one in that story. He's asshole two.
By the third time I hear a story where someone's an asshole, I'm like, is it you?
No. All from the same person?
Yeah. Like
the common thread here is you. Guess what?
I always think that. And with the Yelp, because I don't know if anybody still knows him, but we all have those people that... that you know just live on Yelp writing horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my favorite is, like, the chicken wings were frozen. Of course they're frozen.
Well, they didn't kill it right there.
It's the wing off a chicken. Yeah. There'd have to be 75 chickens in the back there to get you fresh chicken wings.
Yeah. We're not bad at
all. That's not how any of this works. Like, the Acre Bar in Buffalo where they were invented was the frozen chicken. Because they discarded them, and then they said, wait, let's do this.
Oh, we can use these fingers.
Let's cook this teeny tiny bit of meat.
Yeah.
And sell it to people for $7 a dozen.
Sure. Except on Wednesdays when it's on special. Half off.
50 cents a wing.
55-0.
Back in the day, it was 10 cents a wing.
Oh, my God. Well, the chicken unions balked about it.
And that was back when those chickens had a chance of walking freely.
Free range.
No, they just got to stand in their little box.
Yeah.
They can't fly anywhere.
Where would they go anyway?
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes.
Okay. So in Bangkok, a Thai man fought off a 10-foot python that bit his penis while he was squatting on the toilet.
Even it makes her flinch.
He's now recovering.
Young man, that's the appropriate reaction.
Athaporn Boomkachue was admitted after surviving the nightmare encounter with a snake hiding in the toilet plumbing at his house I give up now. Chachanagasso province east of Bangkok.
Up and out of Uguizawa.
I pronounced several of the letters in that word. Now, doctors assure us he can urinate as normal and his pain from the wound has reduced. There's no butt there, so I'm thinking Is ejaculation in his future? Can he go on porn and be kicked out of the seminary soon? The 38-year-old was being treated with antibiotics and would likely be released in a few days. In an interview from his hospital bed after the incident, a smiling Athaporn told local TV channels that the toilet appeared empty when he peeked in before taking a squat. But after a while, the snake rose from the toilet bowl and bit me, he said, explaining how he grabbed the serpent's neck to prevent it from taking him down. At first, I thought my penis was gone and already torn apart because it was really very strong, he said. But he managed to pry open the python's jaws, after which his wife and neighbor rushed to the blood-spattered scene to cover the snake's head with a plastic bag. A rescue team later took a hammer to the toilet to free the serpent and release it back into the wild.
Oh.
While the toilet was damaged in the process, it gave Athaporn's wife reason to make a new purchase, a shiny, modern, flush toilet.
Oh.
What the fuck was he on before that?
A can an over a hole in a floor.
Yeah, an outhouse. Or just a shitter's full. A python.
I can't even deal with the story.
There's a link. There's a link that we will not be hitting here called "What Animals Can Swim Up Your Toilet."
Know. No, no, we're not going to.
Well, I'm glad the quantifier is up your toilet.
Turns out that wasn't a link. That was a header to the next part of the story. Apart from snakes, other animals can also find their way up your toilet, such as rats, according to the BBC. It was probably about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I was in bed. A Londoner recounted an unpleasant experience that occurred in a basement flat in the desirable Maida Vale area of West London. For some reason, I had it in my head that there was a frog in the bath. I think it was because I was half asleep, so I stumbled into the bathroom and realized it wasn't in a frog in the bath, but a rat splashing around in the loo.
Oh, frolicking.
Dangerous spiders are another toilet hazard in some countries. Geoff Jacobs at Queensland Wildlife Solutions in Australia says that funnel webs can be a particular problem in Australia, not just dropping into the bowl from above, but also approaching from beneath.
Oh, is this
they
the
can go either way. They're bisexual.
I like the international cipher beneath.
Many spiders can travel along underwater. In Paris, a crocodile was found in the city's sewer systems in the 1980s under Pont Neuf. There is no record, though, of an animal of this kind getting round a U-bend and arriving in a toilet.
Yeah.
That's a lot of shit that's going to happen. Two things.
Oh, okay, Kat Carlson.
I may never leave this country. I haven't yet, and I may never. Number two, if I do, I'm just going to carry a gallon of bleach or something equally, like, caustic with me at all times and just pour it in the toilet before I even go near it.
Yeah. Just drain all that bitch.
Yeah.
Hydrochloric acid.
Some kind of acid. Yeah. Something bullshit that's going to bubble for a little
while. We're
going
to Jimmy Hoffa that toilet before we're sitting on it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not okay. This is not okay.
I want to see you get through customs and everything with that
with
acid.
All my bleach.
Well, you probably buy it locally.
That's what I would do.
That's you. Local source. Because you want to support the local economy.
I want a local python to swim up and bite me in the cooter.
No, I want none of that, but I will certainly buy toxic local chemicals overseas.
Sure.
Sure.
So somebody at work was reading this story. They were asking if we had read the story, and I'm like, is that The Onion? You know, Bangkok bites of cock.
And
they were like,
happened.
No, this is CNN.
I saw the headline.
So I was like, oh, okay.
I did see
every
that
time happen. Snake is in the headline, I don't click.
Oh.
Will not.
Okay. I'm not mad at you for that.
If you had a pet snake, I would not come over.
Oh, if I had a pet snake,
ever.
I wouldn't live here.
Right.
If wherever that snake is would be far away from me.
I don't care how many cages he's in. If there's a pet snake in the house, I'm not coming over.
Not a fan.
I had a friend who had she had a boa constrictor, and it was fun. I went a couple times to watch her feed at mice because they have to be alive, and you have to watch the
circle
the
of life.
Yeah. And I don't think Lion King was out yet, so I don't think I had a song to go with it.
Right.
So,
in between clean pajamas, penguins on the bottom. Clean pajamas, penguins on the bottom.
He hasn't watched Kimmy Schmidt yet.
No. We've been busy.
Is that from Kimmy Schmidt? I've been singing that for longer than Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, I thought that's what she sings while he's doing The Circle of Life, because when they're standing in Times Square and they decide to sing the first episode. Anyways.
No, I'll tell you the super nerdy source that I stole that from. It's from the Easter Bonnet Contest on Broadway. Avenue Q spoofed The Lion King.
Oh, yes,
and they
yes,
come out.
So I have seen it.
Okay. You have seen it.
Yeah, I have seen it. I mean, it's something I've actually
watched. But it's not
watched.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah, it's not Kimmy Schmidt. One just assumes that if I've been laughing at it lately, it's Kimmy Schmidt. So I didn't, but you can't act. There is a picture in here of the python in there. And it's just like somebody got there before you.
Nope.
I'm not going to, Kat and I have agreed that we are not going to show it.
Mm-mm.
But it looks like a normal toilet.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Moving on. Oh, this is a touching pizza story. An Italian court has acquitted a divorced father who offered to pay child support with pizza.
Ooh.
Nicola Toso split from his wife Nicoletta back in 2002. He agreed to pay child support for their daughter, who was then 6 years old. Now, the local newspaper reported that the amount at the time was 300 euros, which is about 335 bucks a month. But when the crippling recession struck in the southern European country in 2008, the 50-year-old professional pizza maker from Padua, P-A-D-U-A, Padua, he could no longer afford to hand over...
Known from Kiss Me Kate.
He could no longer afford to hand over cold hard cash, so instead he offered to make up the equivalent sum in the form of pies, calzones, and other meals made by his takeaway business. I would be perfectly fine with this. In lieu
You're
of money,
feeding the kid.
In lieu of money, the defendant offered his ex-wife the same amount of compensation in the form of takeaway pizzas from his workplace, an offer which was promptly rejected as beggar's change from the judge in her initial ruling. Now, according to The Independent, which is the newspaper, Toso went on to remarry and have three more children. He shuttered his business back in 2010. Which is when Zuin, his former wife, filed a criminal complaint against him, alleging non-payment of child support. It culminated in a criminal case, which was heard at the courthouse in Padua last week. Toso's defense attorney argued that despite enduring extremely tough times, he'd still fulfilled all his custody obligations and even took in his daughter in 2011 when the daughter's relationship with the mother broke down, after which Zuin was then supposed to still pay $300 a month in maintenance to Toso. The judge actually found out there was no evidence of any crime being committed, and the entire case was acquitted.
Oh, thank goodness.
But still, I mean, usually when you go out for pizza and all that stuff, that's usually not the cheapest meal you could get. I'd be really happy with a pizza and some calzones.
Pizza
and,
comes a long way.
Yeah, good shit.
Yeah, but you know what? People get the nastiest in these places in this order. Number one, the internet in the comment section. And number two, family court.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. I unfortunately have not spent time in family court.
That is where
people
it gets
are the worst.
That's where it gets really ugly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, gay marriage, like gay divorce, I want to sit in one of those because that's going to be. I feel like the gays can really bring something to these proceedings.
She did not. Oh, yes, she did.
I mean, I could just see us Carrington the hell out of this, just dynastying it up.
Right. Oh, yeah. She threw a drink in my, it ruined my crushed velvet gown. Whatever.
So, yeah, it's, I've come to wife it wealthily in Padua. That's how I know the song is. I'm like, I know the name of that. Hmm. But the whole story of Kiss Me Kate takes place in, that's where Kate
oh,
is from.
It? Yeah. Oh, very nice.
Okay.
The touring company of the show arrives in
Padua. One, do you have another
that's
one?
My watch
yes,
list.
I do. Oh, okay. And this one.
And I thought Kat may have had one you were going to slip into, did you not?
Well, sir. Just the tip.
Whatever. Young man. I don't like your attitude.
I can if we need it, sure. No. I can find something.
I have one. I have one more piece of resistance.
Do yours, because I think mine's going to take up a lot of time. I feel like I have one more.
Well, then I'll do mine. We'll do the crossover and come back. How about that?
Good idea. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a sad story, and I really hate to bring the sadness to the story. And I was astounded we didn't know about this, and it wasn't on more of a national news source. The air today is filled with less ozone-killing hairspray and chunky particles of Christian glamour today because Jan Crouch, the citizen of Candyland who inherited the late Tammy Faye Baker, her title as the Empress of Christian Televangelist Beauty, has died. Oh. Everyone, lower your luscious fake eyelashes to half-mast. Jan Crouch was 78 years old. And for those of you who don't know anything about televangelists in America, or the United States as it were, this woman was for many years the glamour queen. Look at that. Just beauty and elegance everywhere.
And plastics.
Yes. So last Wednesday, Jan had a life-threatening stroke and was checked into a hospital in Orlando, Florida. At the time, a family friend said...
Did the wig go with her?
No, it lives on its own. At the time, the family friend said that it didn't seem like Jan would recover from this stroke. Jan's son, Matt Crouch, and her daughter-in-law, Lori Crouch, announced in a statement today that Jan's pink unicorn mane of a wig has sprouted frosty wings and carried her into the afterworld. Quote, Lori and I have just watched the transition of our precious mother from this world to the next. Watched her step into the presence of Jesus, into her heavenly reward. Jan Crouch, known around the world as Mama Jan, has gone home. Those who battled for the kingdom of God knew her as a fighter, someone who didn't give up, someone who's fought relentlessly to get the gospel all around the world and forced down your throat whether you want it or not. Jan Crouch loved many things, but most of all, she loved Jesus and her pink hair. And now she has seen him face to face and has experienced his full grace and fullness. She has taken a piece of our hearts with her, but it's so wonderful to know that Paul and Jan, are back together again, Paul, who died many, many years ago. Her late husband, Paul Crouch, founded the Trinity Broadcasting Network back in 1973, and it grew into becoming the largest religious television network in the world. Jan was also the CEO of the Christian theme park, the Holy Land Experience.
Oh, that's right.
In Orlando.
Theme park. Yeah.
She also helped create TBN's headquarters, an opulent palace of tasteful holiness in Costa Mesa, California, also a prime vacation spot. No televangelist's messy career would be complete without scandals, and TBN had several, including, way many years ago, Paul Crouch's gay sex scandal. What? And accusations that Jan used millions of the ministry's daughters to supplement her lavish lifestyle. Jan Crouch is now gone, but her spellbinding, theatrical, and glamorous memory will live on thanks to this legendary performances that many drag queens will continue to recreate until the end of time. And Jan Crouch, we loved you.
She didn't cry like Tammy Faye. Like she couldn't turn on the like
the waterworks, right?
But she would do these pleas, and after they were exposed for like using the ministry's money for their own gain, they didn't stop. They just started blatantly saying the money was for like, and they like they're set up in Orlando, isn't it? Right. That her grandchild had never been to Disney World. And I don't know if this is on YouTube, but I saw this live on TV. And she was just on TV begging for people to send money in so that her grandchild could get to go to Disney World. It's across the fucking street, lady.
Right, it's right there.
After the first 70 bucks comes in, but, and maybe 20 bucks for the hot dog and the soda, aren't you done?
And then, but all the other things, like, they've got a network. They're in every fucking television all across the country. You can get it on, you know, because it's all on a broadcast channel. TBN was its own broadcast stream. So you could get it everywhere. But another thing that they would try to sell everybody, all these little old ladies with checkbooks back in the day, it was all about, well, we have to fly around the world to spread Jesus's word.
Yeah, we need money for that.
You've got a billion fucking dollar satellite system. You're beaming into every fucking front room in the world. You don't need a jet. You do not need a jet.
Yeah, they'll find you. Turn on the radio.
That's the one
that... Remember I told you about my godmother, my aunt, that didn't know her son was gay?
Yes.
We've talked about that.
Yes,
like,
yes.
That was the channel that she would watch. And my mother would be like, what? Like, how are you falling for this?
I don't get it.
She would watch
religiously.
TBN. Yeah. Do you go to church? Well, not religiously.
Right.
That's from Arrested Development, one of the best lines ever. But not religiously.
Not religiously. There's that. All right, boys and girls, thanks. It's hour one is in the bag. We are coming back with the drinking word. Al and Kat, a couple more headlines and some entertainment stuff.
Make some shit up.
We'll make shit up. We'll figure things out. It is Kat, Al, and Clayton. Marnie is taking the night off, and, well, we're going to make up stuff in spite of her not being here. Thank you for being with us. Join us in the chat room if you haven't already. Thank you for your support. We'll be right back. It's Q Talk America on a Tuesday night, coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome. It is the show on a lovely Tuesday night. One of our last, I'd say, cool Tuesday nights in Arizona for the summer. As we are in Phoenix, we're getting ready to jettison right into the stratosphere of temperature. It'll be 145 degrees next week when you tune in to watch us. So,
but we're not complaining because we all moved here.
Yeah.
I like that he's jettisoning with his dog Astro over here into the stratosphere.
Yeah,
right in the stratosphere.
His boy Elroy.
Oh, oddly, that's a new theme song I've been working on. Oddly, editing and raping and pillaging that song to figure out how we can make a new theme out of it.
I loved it.
I just found it. So, what I don't know is if I play it, do we get dinged? Do we get dinged every week for copyright infringement because it is the London Symphony who plays their version of it? And I'm going to edit
Daughter Judy.
Dun, 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 dun. We'll figure it out later. Anywho, it is the beginning of hour two.
It's a ringtone, so it's available.
Oh, I've got it. I enjoy it. Beginning of hour two, we're going to start it with this. It's called the drinking disclaimer, and it goes a little bit like this.
And now, a drink along.
We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, in honor of Veep this week, our word is cuntgate.
Oh!
Yes.
Like Watergate.
Okay, I'm going to write that down.
So, it's not a gate.
Actually, not oddly not a gate. Drinking word.
So,
I love it.
They've just done something really weird with Veep this, because it's new. The original new writer's right? gone. It's new yeah. people. And they've taken it down a really strange and dark path where they've made her yet so unlikable. And it's made it kind of funnier once you give up the fact that you're just no longer rooting for her. Like, she's just turned into, like,
she's not
Michael from The Office, or, you know what I mean? Like, one of those people that's just cringeworthy. Like,
uh-huh.
oh, she's just awful to everyone. So she's like, and has anybody seen the story in the Post? And she makes Gary hand her an iPad, and she can't spin it right to get the story to stand still. And so she reads it like this. She's like, someone in the Post says that an anonymous source called me a cunt, and everybody in the office is like, oh, really? No.
What?
So she's like, she puts someone on to investigate it, and the so she goes to the first person. She's like, I'm on the witch hunt to find out who called her a cunt. It was me. I called her a cunt. He's like, oh, damn it. I thought it was me. He's like, I called her the other day. So they go to the next office. They're like, he's like, I just want to tell you that, Amy, don't waste your time. She's like, well, he's like, I know who called her a cunt. She's like, yeah, me. And he goes, no, him. He goes, no. He's like, I think I actually called her that to the reporter that asked me. And then at the end, she's like, so... was it all of you? Is it all of you that think I'm a cunt? And they're all like, yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I put this up just so people are sure.
Cunt gate. Not actually a gate. Not- But they mean it like, because she ends up firing.
I love the footnote.
She, yeah, exactly. C note. She fires some people in the White House press corps because they are, whatever it is, the PR people, because mm-hmm. they shouldn't have let it get out when it was true.
Right.
So now they're saying, oh, so is it the C word gate? Is it cunt gate? And they're like, it's not a gate, meaning like not water gate, not travel gate. Like, don't right. put gate at the end of it. It
this
just makes it worse.
Gate.
It's not a gate. Just so funny.
Okay, so that we've got our drinking word cunt gate. We had a couple more stories. You had another story, and so did Kat.
Wait, okay, so well, are we going to jump in the cage?
Speaking of cunt gate,
yeah. oh.
let's talk gorilla gate.
Gorilla gate.
Segway
Look at that.
So. Now, this story takes another angle, but you got to tell me what city
Cincinnati.
This is. In Cincinnati, a 4-year-old boy climbed over a zoo barricade and fell into a gorilla enclosure, and the gorilla kind of played with him a little bit, stood him up, moved him around, and then started to really, like, kind of play with him. They brought in the handlers, there were 911 calls, and they made the decision to shoot the gorilla because they were afraid that the tranquilizer dart wouldn't work fast enough, or he could further harm the baby while going through a stone phase, or could fall right. on the child. And it has turned into like the national, like Target bathrooms, pee where you want to. Now it's Gorilla Gate.
I'm very close to removing Facebook from all of my devices and going to a completely like scheduled third party reason, like method to post because of it, because the
yeah it's just been
Gorilla Gate is killing me.
It's just gone, it's just gotten out of control, and now
has it gone ape shit?
It's gone ape shit. What happened to Faye Ray? She went ape shit.
Oh my god.
So now the family is getting death threats of the child,
because thank you internet.
Yeah, they and her husband, who has a criminal record, have received countless death threats. Kind of like the woman at the Nevada convention. So these are mm-hmm. Bernie's. I'm going to blame Bernie supporters. I'm
not
blaming
it
on them.
That's fair.
Because they're good. They're known for their death threats lately. And the people that are pro-animal but suddenly anti-4-year-old child. So it's just taken on this ugly, you're either on the one side or the
PETA
other.
People. Right.
Yeah, and everybody knows I hate PETA too. So again, keep the email coming. What is it, info@qtalkamerica.com?
Sure. Come on, bring it on.
Bring it on. So it's turned into this whole thing as to which side you fall, and there's no middle ground, there can't be.
Yeah. Well, and the biggest talking points and the biggest, like, ignorant headlines that I keep seeing over and over and over and over again are from people who, and I'm going to go ahead and just judge them right out, people who post daily about how they can't handle their own fucking life want to talk about how this mother should be parenting her child.
Right.
Like, they want to point the finger at the mom. Why weren't you watching your child? All right? And then they want to point fingers at the zookeeper. Well, right. There were other methods that you could do. You know, and then we reach the point of death threats. Number one, why are we judging this woman for, you know what I mean, losing her kid for what was probably a minute?
Right.
Kids are quick. And what about all the bystanders? Like, it was a crowded place. It was a busy day at the zoo. You can't tell me that somebody else didn't see that kid crawling through where he wasn't supposed to be that could have gone, hey, are you supposed to be there? Where's your mom? Let's go find her.
Yeah, and then, mm-hmm. and there was another, that third tactic has been out that it's like, it's all of our fault as a society that we let this happen. I'm like, I wasn't there. How's it my fault?
Right. Not my fault, but for you, Joe Schmo, who was standing at the zoo enclosure and thought, huh, that kid shouldn't be there.
Or taking a video of the kid climbing through it, which I'm sure exists. I'm sure somebody stood there and videotaped it that we haven't seen yet.
Possibly.
You know, like,
oh,
the guy on the roller coaster a couple weeks ago, his son is in the roller coaster and his seatbelt isn't done up. Miraculously, though, while the guy is comforting the kid, he never puts down the selfie.
Right.
The whole thing's
we
on video.
We talked about that.
Oh.
Yeah.
That one's bad parenting.
Yeah,
you can drop the phone. Hold on to your kid. He's scared for his life. He doesn't ever want to watch that video. But this is, like, to me, this has turned into just a disgrace to all of us, the way we talk about
each
other.
The way that we're talking about it
on Facebook
is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, and you can't fault the zookeepers. Like, that's the only thing they can do. You want to be the zoo that had a 4-year-old child ripped limb from limb?
Right.
You can't be that zoo.
No.
Like, nobody wants that. Nobody needs that. So the zoo had no other choice.
No, and now.
And they did. That kid was in there for 10 minutes before they shot the animal. They did try other methods. They called the gorillas in. There's, like, a call that they do to call them inside at night or whatever. And most of the time, the animals comply because they feed them in there or whatever.
Right.
And all of the other gorillas in the enclosure went in. Like, all of the females answered the call.
Oh.
Yeah.
He did not. And,
because he had a new toy.
Right.
He had a new toy. He had a new curiosity. And now, the gorilla is exhibiting signs of being a little bit scared and doing what a silverback gorilla will do. And that's bullying his way and buffaloing his way through this danger, because now he's got all of these fucking assholes up above him
screaming, and they said that really alarmed him and put him in a...
That would really alarm me, too.
Right.
You know, so that you can't blame the zoo. You can marginally blame the mom, but let me tell you, 4-year-old kids will get into some places faster than you can anything.
Oh, and I my friend Kara and I go to the zoo with her kids, and her older one is 3.5. Wily.
Yeah.
Like, we were one-to-one defense with these two kids.
Yeah. And
that one, woo, we're like...
Everyone who's ever taken a child anywhere, especially, like, the toddler age, the 3 to 6, kind of, you know, they're curious, they're tiny, they're wily. Everyone who's ever taken a child anywhere has had that moment of panic of, oh, fuck, where's the kid?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, oh, there they are.
And aside from a leash, like... You can watch them, you can, but you just turn 1 second, and like, and I am just from the couple times I've been around kids that are mobile, you're like, I swear to God, that kid's hand is in mine, and now where the fuck?
Where did he go? Oh, he's in the middle of traffic.
And the funny thing was my friend puts the older boy in, like, he wears, like, traffic cone orange shirts.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, God, that's smart, because I could spot him in a second. I'd be like, oh, I see him through I could play Where's Waldo so fast. She's like, that's really smart. She's like, oh, that's on purpose.
No.
She's like, that kid is everywhere. Yeah.
You think it's just because it's fun and it looks cute.
Yeah.
Right. No.
She's like, there's a picture of something on there, but that is like, I bought all the orange shirts in existence. But so, I mean, it's, okay, and everyone's done it. You've been in the mall where someone was like, I turned my back for a second. I looked at a shelf. Like, I thought he was like, I could still feel his heat on my leg. You know, it's craziness.
And we all live through it, too. Like, a lot of us have stories of being lost in the mall.
Oh, yeah.
I may actually still be lost.
Right. Yes.
Nobody came to find me.
No, I went to Sears one time as about a four-year-old child, and it was Christmas time, and I was looking at Christmas trees, sure. And my dad rounded the corner, and I sure
and
didn't.
You didn't.
And all of a sudden, I have no idea where anybody is.
There she is in the craftsman tool section all by herself.
And
just that's why you're gay.
And just happy as could be.
And Aaron said, like his parents, there was a while where there was people on leashes, and everybody was like, oh, that's cruel, cruel, and you're like, kind of worked, but
that's
same...
really just a tripping hazard, though,
for everybody else. Yeah,
but one of the scary things, like if I used to go to public pools when I was a kid, especially when we mm-hmm. traveled, we would, you know, either in the pool at the hotels where we traveled, or when we were in Charlotte with my aunt, we would go to the city pool because it was so fucking hot in North Carolina. You can't keep track of a kid
in a pool
in a public pool that's completely filled in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a person alive that can play Where's Waldo when everybody's...
That's wearing a traffic cone.
Tan. No, right. but who's in a t-shirt? Like, right. everybody's in, you know...
Right, in nothing.
It's either, the one-piece girl or the bottoms boy. You know what I mean? Like, you're not... You can't spot your
and
kid.
And those are in the water.
And everybody's hair right. slicked back, so, right. like, curly hair's gone. All identifiable things. That could be an old Asian man or a young child. And it just really does. It's such a terrible story, but it really is turning into a statement on our society that we just feel free to shame people online on the regular, and
we feel entitled to revenge almost.
Yeah,
we feel entitled to this, and I had a better word in my brain for it, and it ran away. But we just feel entitled to punitive damages. Like, we feel entitled to punish people.
Mm-hmm.
In our armchair quarterbacking, we mm-hmm. think, this woman should go to jail, and she should have her kid taken from her, and she
and
should
And if I'm
this.
A parent, I'm going to do it perfectly. No one's ever going to get out of my sight.
No.
Right.
And a friend, somebody I work with, was talking, unrelated to this a couple weeks ago, about their kid in a department store.
Mm-hmm.
And, she asked a woman for, where something was. The kid, slipped out of her hand, and before she could turn her head...
Oh.
He was just gone.
Oh.
And it turns out he now thinks... Was it you that was telling me this story? That he thinks it's funny to, hide in the racks of clothes?
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, I have heard these stories, a story like that before.
He thinks it's funny
to sure.
hide
it's
in the
hilarious.
Racks of clothes. And, they shut down the store. They had to get security. People were getting ready to look at the cameras to see if the kid had actually been abducted. If someone just... Because he was holding her hand.
Right.
And
that
just,
may have been a Grey's Anatomy episode. I'm not.
No,
just,
no. But
I'm just going to warn you.
And it turns out the kid liked playing hide and go seek.
Absolutely.
And but loved being inside the clothes. At some
sure.
point, he had discovered a path through there while somebody was doing something, and they heard him. Finally, someone heard him laughing. Everyone was being quiet, looking for him, and they finally heard him giggling. He was in the rack of clothes. Just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Gotta kill the fucker.
Did you beat that kid?
Right. God, I'm glad we found you. Now you're going to die.
Well, because kids are curious, they're fearless, they're fast and tiny, and they
and that immortality thing.
Everything's a game, and they don't they're.
Oh, and there's trust.
A
4-year-old
trust
is everywhere.
Does not understand pain until it's happening.
Right,
right.
Does not understand pain until it's actually happening to him right now, and then it's the worst thing that's ever happened in his 4-year-old life.
And for everybody else,
tiny
because of
scratch,
the screaming
right.
from every. Oh,
right.
And somebody has said, when she was telling the story, that they were saying to turn the lights off in the department store
mm-hmm.
because if it went dark, the kid might be scared enough to cry out for help and
sure.
stop being a game.
Oh.
But it was so funny because everyone was talking, and I was just listening as a non-parent and being like, "Oh, thank God, the urge to have children has never occurred," because I would lose my mind. You know what I mean? I would just be every day drinking. We got to get drunk to take this day. What's this kid going to do today? You know what I mean? Walking to school.
It's a special brand of hell.
Well, day. What are you? You experienced this, I'm sure, because you got 10 and 6, 10 and 7, 10 and what is it?
8 and 10.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think if we've actually lost a child. We thought maybe we were at the Renaissance Festival with my brother-in-law and his kids. And we thought for a little while that we had lost a child, and we had to kind of circle all the adults because everyone had... I mean, walking anywhere with her family is like herding cats in the worst possible way.
Was the child behind a hidden,
her mom's
like
half
a turkey
drunk
leg?
Her water's off. Her dad doesn't want to be there, so he's at the beer stand. Right, and so we were... I had the two oldest boys with me, and we were going to buy water or something at one of the concession stands, and then my nephew wandered off, and and I must have registered that he was going... he was being handed off to another adult, but it didn't consciously register. I wasn't hey, where are you going? I was okay with him walking away. But then when everybody kind of circled back up, we went, oh, fuck, where's Nicholas? you know, and there was that moment of panic, and so we had to go and round up all the adults, and he had gone with grandma, and he was fine the entire time, but it happens.
Right.
Well, that happens when you go to the haunted houses, because we take some of the people bring their age-appropriate children, like 12 and up, and, like, you're, like, walking along in those crowds, and it's dark, and there's, like, exhibits and things for sale, and you're just like, oh, like, or like some creature comes up to you and you're kind of distracted. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, there were just eight people around. Like, I still get, as an adult, I'm still getting lost. I'm like, wait, I was just with a group of 10 people. How did I lose everybody looking at that werewolf? Like, did I lose time? Well, did something just happen?
It doesn't have to be anything that drastic. Like, we can be walking out of a basketball game and we're all going the same place and everybody knows where they're going. And, you know, our oldest thinks that he needs to be the leader of the pack, but won't ever, ever look over his shoulder.
And then someone just cuts in between
you. And then somebody cuts in between,
right.
And two other people cut in between, and all of a sudden, you know, he's...
You're separated,
You're separated. And he's panicked several times about it. He looks a little bit more...
Oh.
A little bit more now, but, you know, sometimes I just shake my head because I'm like, dude, like, you could walk next to me. That would super work out for everyone, because then I could see you, and you could see me, and we're going to stay together, and...
But I
just won't.
This whole thing, and then there's this, and then everybody gets on the whole thing about, oh, there shouldn't be zoos. That's a problem. Well, and a lot of these places, like the countries where these animals are native or in America, with what we did to the buffalo, like, we don't take care of our
natural resources
and stuff like that. So the lands are dwindling, and sometimes zoos are where you can, like, that's the last four pandas on Earth. You know what I mean? You don't know what it is, but there's a little bit of conservation. There's a little bit of trying to preserve a species. This was a bred in the zoo.
Yeah.
Well, male, and I don't know how old they live. Is he near the end of his lifespan? I don't know. Are gorillas like cats, or are they like humans?
I don't know what the lifespan would be. This gorilla was 17.
Yeah.
Dear, like, Google.
Is that an old gorilla? I don't know.
I mean,
not that, you know, it was time to euthanize him, but to me it was just the ugliness, because I didn't know what the meme was about. I just saw the meme about...
Gorillas live 35 to 40 years.
Oh, okay. So this was a young...
He was
not even middle-aged.
Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah, barely.
Well, no, I take it 30. I'm sorry. Yeah. So yeah, he could have been a middle-aged silverback.
Sure. Yeah. And I understand the argument for no zoos or less zoos or different zoos.
Yeah, better zoos.
Yeah, a better zoo. This argument came up in an article that I was reading about the mind-boggling aquarium that they're building here.
Over in North Scottsdale.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
I've driven past it several times, and it's huge. And, like, I'm interested to go, and I'll certainly go and, you know, pay my $20 or whatever it is to go look at the dolphins. And the article raised the point that a lot of the not-for-profit zoos and aquariums and wild animal parks do a lot of good in the world, whereas your for-profit, your SeaWorlds, and your... I don't know what the status of the Cincinnati Zoo is, but, you know, those are the more horrible places that maybe we should start thinking about shutting down and move towards a more conservation, not-for-profit model.
Right.
You know, and the zoos have seen that, I think, in our lifetime.
And I think they're responding to that cry of, more humane, give them more space.
Conservation, education, give them an enclosure that seems...
Like, maybe Central Park's not the best space for a giant zoo.
Right, as we learned in Madagascar, like, that just doesn't work out very well.
Yeah.
Animated film teaches us all the things.
I understand. It's reality.
And it's an endangered gorilla, too, as that keeps coming up in the story. But this whole thing of, like, the gorilla was being a better parent than you are.
No.
Stop.
No. The gorilla was showing his dominance and his fierceness by dragging this child around. And, you know, he would have done the same thing with, a giant branch if there was one around.
Right.
So anything to make noise and make a big show of, look how tough I am, because that's what gorillas do.
Mm-hmm.
So, just...
Yeah, all of this just, like, rhetoric and the shaming that happens with every story. It's every story. Everything. I was scrolling through the Facebook news feed, I think it was the day before yesterday.
Was any of this Obama's fault, by the way? I didn't know if we got to that comment.
I'm sure by the third or fourth, because...
I won't read comments.
Oh, no, I understand. I'm just... Somewhere in there, I'm sure... There was some sort of an equation to...
There are stories that I'll click on just him. To see the comments at the bottom. They'll be like, oh, that's a story that's just clickbait for comments.
Right.
No, you know what? I don't know if it's my, like, need for vacation. I don't know if maybe I've reached that threshold, or my threshold for stupidity on social media is there. But I open my phone all the time, and I just look at the app list, and I look at that Facebook app, and I go, gosh, just a long press and a slide, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's time to get rid of that and stop giving attention to this. Like, just pull yourself.
I mean, my addiction to CNN is almost done, because you just turn on the news and it's Trump did this, Trump said that, and I'm like, I can't.
Yeah,
I need more news than that.
Yeah, it can't. Like, he's just like he knew. Oh, how's this? How are we doing on assassination?
Right.
With him? How's
speaking,
that? Make it look like an accident.
Trump did this. Trump did that in assassinations. Let's do another story about. Did you know that Glenn Beck was still a thing?
I did. I still don't like him. And he started his radio career, if I'm not mistaken, or started really getting notoriety here in Phoenix, actually.
I looked it up and got bored reading his Wikipedia page because I didn't care. So.
No, but he did. He was like a regular radio DJ here in Phoenix, Arizona, and then became crazy and took off, and now your story.
It turns out he still had a radio show. He's been on Sirius XM, and his radio show syndicated and all that stuff. But now he's off the air for at least the next week after a guest of his is being accused of hinting that Donald Trump, if elected president, could or even should be assassinated.
Wow.
I know. Sirius XM announced on Tuesday. Now, Clayton sent me this article earlier, and the article that you sent me still had no official word from Sirius XM, so I went...
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Because so I didn't vet the story or look up anything else. I just saw it.
I vetted a little bit, because in the bottom of the article that you sent me, the guest, and I'll find his name
something
here in a second.
Thor. Yeah.
The guest was saying that, oh, well, we're still looking for an official word from Sirius, but now I've got from CNN that Sirius has announced today that the Glenn Beck program will be suspended from the Patriot Channel for the coming week.
The Patriot Channel, of course. Yeah,
of course it is.
Why don't you suspend the Patriot Channel?
Yeah, because it's just other fucktards like Glenn Beck on there.
Oh, we'll circle back to that, because let me tell you, going to a basketball game on Memorial Day was about all I could take, too.
Oh. Okay.
We'll circle back to that. Anyway, the Glenn Beck program will be suspended from the Patriot Channel for the coming week, and that Sirius XM is evaluating its Glenn Beck's program in their lineup going forward.
Good. Let's evaluate it more.
Sirius XM encourages a diversity of discourse and opinion on our talk programs, they said in a statement. However, comments recently made by a guest on the independently produced Glenn Beck program, in our judgment, may be reasonably construed to have some... to have been advocating harm against an individual currently running for office, which we cannot and will not condone. So on the talk program, Glenn Beck had... Let me go to the other article. That was better written. Speaking with Mr. Beck on Wednesday, Mr. Thor, his first name is... Why is it not in this article?
Dumbass Thor.
Brad Thor, thank you.
Brad Thor.
Brad, of course. Oh, that makes me sad, because almost every Brad I've ever met is kind of a lot of fun.
Oh. Well, actually, Brad Thor might be fun.
Brad Thor might actually be fun.
He may have just said a comment that maybe people didn't like.
But in his interview on the Glenn Beck Show, he predicted that Congress would not be able to control a president like Donald Trump, and said, quote, that if, quote, Congress won't remove him from office, what patriot will step up to do that if he oversteps his mandate as president, his constitutional granted authority? If he oversteps that, how do we get him out of office? Thor asked. I think it will be a terrible, terrible position that the American people will be in to get Trump out of office, because you won't be able to do it through Congress. Beck later said that Thor only meant that Congress wouldn't have the guts to impeach Trump, and said that his comments were nothing more sinister than that.
Mm-hmm.
But they were sinister enough to... And, I mean, number one, I don't know. He didn't actually come out and say it, but...
Right, he wasn't saying, here, this is the... I'm going to give you the bullet, right, and I just need somebody to pull the trigger.
Which, I think, is a little hypocritical, because I'm pretty sure we could Google how many times somebody said that Obama should be assassinated.
Oh, right. Well, and I'm sure...
On television.
Across...
On Fox News.
Right.
Right.
I can guarantee we can probably find three people that were on Fox News... saying that the Obamas should be assassinated.
Or something to take them down. Some way of getting that word.
And it's been universally accepted.
Oh, yeah.
Just, whatever, he just doesn't like Obama. He can say that.
Yeah.
So freedom of speech.
Yeah. It's astonishing how, you know, one very vague comment of how are we going to get rid of him without Congress is taken as an assassination attempt, when actual assassination threats...
I'm sure there's not a lot of other intellectual conversation going on this Patriot Channel, because it sounds like something that Rush Limbaugh jacked off on and just threw out there with Glenn Beck.
This is Glenn Beck's own, because it's what he went to after he was on Fox that got rid of him? I want to say he started on CNN and then he moved to He started off somewhere kind of normal.
Had a late night show, a later show.
Ended up on Fox, and now he did his own Patriot Channel.
Okay.
But and then his, and we've talked about this cuntgate before.
Oh,
Dana Loesch.
Dana Loesch, yes.
She is the conservative talk show host. She's on The Blaze. That's the name of her talk show, which he usually hosts, too.
Okay.
And so she might be on co-hosting for him, or a substitution hosting. And she's the author of Hands Off My Gun, Defeating the Plot to Disarm America. So these are all gun lovers on here.
Sure.
So the fact that one of them wants to use the gun for an assassination attempt, really not shocking.
Not that much of a stretch.
But this is the
woman. And against a guy who's also for guns, according to the latest survey they took of him, because at one point he was against him, if I'm not mistaken, now he's for him.
Trump,
yeah.
Oh, she debuted her daily TV show Dana on Glenn Beck's The Blaze TV.
Oh, okay.
So that's what. So the Patriot Channel must be
the
his
radio and Sirius, right?
But the Blaze TV is like this thing.
Okay.
Like their ship.
All right.
Good Lord, shenanigans! Like I can't.
But
wrap
she's
my
the
mind
co-founder
around.
Of the Tea Party, so she's Cunty McCuntstein right. from Cuntgate. That was on. She was all over the news in 2009 when the Tea Party was starting, and she was one with all, oh, we're not racist, we're not this, we're not this, we're not this, but all we keep seeing me be able to find is racist, homophobic,
right.
big people.
Bigoted comments.
Yeah. So, and very often I try to remember her name, so maybe I'll mail this to you. But this is, let me send you this, you can see if you can get her picture up there.
Oh yeah, message me in the Facebooks for it.
I can't do that fast.
So they're
you're very fast.
So they're going to take a week to review, or they've already said he'll be back in a week.
No, they said it'll be off for the week, and it was a wait and see.
Got it. He's a piece of work.
Yeah, SiriusXM is evaluating Glenn Beck's place in their lineup going forward.
Gotcha.
So they're going to take a minute. They're going to think about it. They're going to pull some people.
And of course, if they should choose, for whatever reason, to not include him any longer in their satellite radio lineup, you know what'll happen. They will just scream and cry that they are. It's the liberal
First
media.
First Amendment rights. Yeah.
Liberal media. They're all one sided. Blah blah.
And
blah.
I always say, if your response to any question is liberal media, then your argument's over.
I agree.
Like, Fox is the number one news network in these United States. It is the highest rated cable news program. No. The Washington Post is a conservative newspaper that's pretty mm-hmm. much on a par with the New York Times. You're covered. Like, you're not, like...
Nobody's silencing you.
MSNBC is almost a joke of a network. Like, you and I watch it, and that's pretty much it. Like,
right.
They have four viewers on the regular. That show's like constantly swirling the drain. So like there is like this liberal media thing is such bullshit.
Yeah.
And I could see, you know, Hollywood stars maybe, you know, they don't want to be on the side of racists and stuff like that. So maybe they come across as a little more liberal than they really believe. Maybe they're not
maybe.
All Chuck Norris and
sure.
Cat Scratch Stevens, whatever his name is. What's that guy's name? I don't want to malign the wrong person.
Cat Stevens.
No, Cat Stevens is the good guy. What's Ted Nugent?
Oh, Ted Nugent.
Cat Stevens is the one that did the music from Harold and Maude.
I'm like, wait a minute. Why are we being mean to Cat Stevens?
But when it says forward something, the Facebook messenger doesn't come up. That's why when you're always like, send that to my... Like, when I hit this button to forward something, that's not one of my choices.
Do you have the messenger app installed?
I'm going to slide over.
Oh, here we go. Aren't you clever?
Because if you don't have
messenger... Now it will. All right, done.
Okay. Oh, look at you, talented.
All right.
All right, I'm going to go back over here. Now.
Skills.
Cuntgate, it's over.
Cuntgate is over.
The technical.
The scandal formerly known as Cuntgate is now over.
God, let me get to this picture.
But now I can. Well, now let me forward it to the right place.
Well, let's see. Yeah,
that'll be very nice.
Actually, why don't I just Google her name and.
Well, I could pull her up myself. Now that I know how to spell it.
Okay, there you
it's
go.
It's Loesch?
Something like that, but it's pronounced Lash.
Right.
Luckily, there was a handy pronunciation guide in there.
I got it.
I'm talking about the Cunty McCuntstein that co-founded the Tea Party, this is the woman that I mean, if we show her picture. This is what I'm always talking about, that in 2009 was just worse than Trump on TV. Like,
what's her name again?
Dana
Loesch, but it's spelled funky.
Yeah, hang on a second. Let me do this.
L-O-E-S-C-H.
This.
My device listens to us when we talk and suggests what we're talking about to me.
Oh, it does?
It does. I'm not mad about it.
So for further reference, or if you're back listening to all the shows that I have referenced as women and can never come up with her name, but now we're all watching the same TV show, so... But she's brave enough to be on Bill Maher all the time. I gotta give her credit. Like, she goes on opposition TV and...
And there's a big difference between believing what you believe and having facts to back it up, whatever they may be. And,
or being Ann Coulter.
And right, there's a difference between being on an extreme side of an issue and being crazy and making shit up and following rhetoric. Like, there's a difference between mm-hmm. having an extreme position and having a dangerous position, a position based entirely on rhetoric and clickbait headlines.
Oligarchy, which is the new word of that the news can't stop using. Like, somebody needs to, like, turn off Wolf Blitzer and all these people. Because, I mean, God damn it, that's the only word they all know now.
I'm not even sure I know what it means. I'm going to look it up.
But what's taking so long with the picture?
Oh, because it's saved in a different folder. Standby, I've got it. And here we come. Boom, here she is right there in her living color.
Oh, wow, you found a fun picture.
Yeah,
gunsandammo.com. That's really, really Photoshopped, though. So that's not really what she looks like.
She's not that hot.
No, she's a very plain...
Well, I can pull up a plane picture.
Yeah, pull up the. I mean, it really does show her love for guns and all thing guns and all she talks about guns. But one of the things about the Tea Party and all the shit that they started was where all the, like, to me, that's where the start of, like, that real, just that vile stuff being written online started was mm-hmm. just their reaction to everything in those fake stories about Obama going to India or wherever he went, and it cost like $4 million a day and all that stuff. Like, this was the source of all those stories and all the Hatriot mail, as I like to call it.
Hatriot, that's nice. Good. Yeah. I like that,
the cunt
too.
Gate mail. Like, all those fake scandals that were always started. I think this cunt had a part
had
in all of it. But she was the talking head on TV for the whole 2010 election, which Bernie supporters don't know that there's midterm elections, but or they would have voted. But...
Here's your less attractive picture of her.
That is what she looks like. That's a good picture of her.
That's fair.
Yeah. I mean, not plain. I guess she's pretty. She's just so evil.
There she is.
You know, anymore, it just feels like a battle of propaganda.
So I'm here bashing her, complaining about what... But I'm doing it anonymously. I guess I get a little bit of a vindication. Because I got my face and my name
here.
Send
your hate mail to info@.
Cue talking.
I can't wait to get hate mail.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Sure.
I got called
except for I think most of our listeners like agree with us on a lot of points, and
they might be a little biased on that.
Yeah, a little bit.
I got called a troll online the other day for voicing an opinion. Yeah, I was like, ooh, a troll.
See, if I'm gonna troll online, I'm gonna do it really, really well, and I'm gonna know that I won when they start like personally attacking me for either my appearance or for being gay. Like, I have several friends that have some very like douchey friends that aren't associated with me. And so we only have like the one point in common
on
social media. So my poor friend Eric, every once in a while, he'll post something on Facebook and his idiot friends will be like after. And every once in a while, I just can't help myself. And I send him a message privately and I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I'm going in.
And I always hate being the cunt gate on someone else's page and like chiming in, because I'm like, clearly, you're all self-masturbating here together, like the clergy. But I need to jump in and just
clarify a couple things.
Sometimes I just can't help it.
Yeah, and this was just something where I offered an opinion. There was like four opinions. I mm-hmm. offered mine. My friend is very political in New Mexico. She's politically active. She's run for office. But she's drank the Kool-Aid, and she's a little far. Far out there with her wackadoodle ideas, as far as I'm concerned. So I just offered an opinion, and then someone was like, sure. I smell a troll. And then I just got all this like shit in private messages, and I was like, wow, just any dissenting opinion. Like, there just isn't like a conversation that's going to be had.
And it feels like we're sitting in the middle of a war of propaganda. Like, we're the targets of a propaganda war. Just from every side. It's political, it's commercial, it's...
Yeah,
everything.
It's guns, it's guerrillas, it's... It's veterans,
it's
for
bathrooms, yeah.
Because seriously, it was Memorial Day. I went to a basketball game. Awesome. I didn't like put the two together and realize that it would be, oh my God, Patriot City.
Okay.
At
a lesbian basketball game.
I know.
Okay.
But it was on Memorial Day, and it was like, what do they call it? Like Hoops for Troops or something. And I'm, okay, I get it, and I will start before the hate mail starts coming my way. I have no problem with anyone serving in the military. Like, absolutely, do your thing. I have no problem with a lot of the functions of our military.
Yeah.
Awesome. Serves a great purpose, does great things for all the people that get to live here and abroad. I'm not anti-military. I am, however, a little bit anti-glorifying war, which is what it feels like after 2.5 hours of every 30 minutes.
Right.
This service member and this service member and all of the sacrifice. If it was a drinking word for how many times they said the word sacrifice.
Oh, maybe we should change on it.
And I just like, it felt icky by about halfway through.
Yeah.
That. It was just a lot. And I get it. And absolutely. You know what I mean? This country puts these people in dangerous, dangerous situations. And they go and they do a job that I don't want to do.
Right. Right. And don't just thank them for their service. Like, vote for people who right. actually care for the veterans and do something about it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do something about it. Vote for people that maybe aren't going to send them on ridiculous missions and
right,
send
exactly.
them on
right.
useful missions.
And then give a shit about them when they come
that's
home
That's
a damaged.
Way that we can help. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And that's a way that we can honor veterans, and that's wonderful. But just the propaganda machine just being cranked out at just a basketball game.
You're right.
It was like, ugh.
Before we move on to the entertainment section, I want to give a shout out to Combo Amina, who sent me posted this on my Facebook page, and I just kind of thought it was funny. When you send text messages to random phone numbers that you don't know who they are, and you send them a message like this, it's done from this moment on forward. We don't know each other. Sorry, who is this? Very good. Well played.
Oh, clever girl.
That made me laugh.
And Combo. That really makes you rebut. Who did I piss off this week?
Amina, that was very, very funny. I enjoyed the snot out of that. So thank you for that. Oh, I think it's time for Al Perkins and Entertainment, and it goes a little something like this. Hey!
Entertainment! There's a new Han Solo ready in the wings for his,
Is that a Catholic story?
Let's meet Han Solo. Yeah, exactly. Oh, mutual masturbation.
Han Solo.
Let's meet Han Solo. Movie that's coming out next year. Pitch Perfect 3's release date is bumped. Maya Rudolph and Martin Short's TV show starts today, and I forgot to tape it. Guys and Dolls is back in the works, and I have that story twice too.
Well,
and this time it wasn't two different stories about bad priests.
This time it's personal.
Yeah, this time it's personal.
Al Perkins often duplicated by himself.
By himself.
Well, I find the short link to the story, and then it says hit the other link, and it doesn't. It goes an iPad. It goes to a whole other page. So you end up with
sure.
two pages open. So Fox Studios has hired Michael Grandage to direct its remake of the 1955 musical Guys and Dolls, which for those of us who are fans of the musical Guys and Dolls, that movie is not very good. Even though it does have Frank
it's
Sinatra and Marlon
and
Brando.
And a hunky Brando.
And a good looking Marlon Brando. And Gene Simmons, not mm-hmm. the one from Kiss.
Different.
But there's songs cut out because Brando can't sing.
Okay.
There's things missing due to Brando's lack of singing ability, including one of the composer's favorite songs, which is, I think it's My Kind of Town. This is My Kind of Town, and it's a Lesser and Low musical. Let me see if I can get to that.
Excuse me.
Oh, that's so funny that they say
for?
Who wrote... It's the Sky Masterson song. I think it's called My Kind of Town or Nighttime is My Time or something like that.
My Time of Day.
My Time of Day. It's just a beautiful song. And please look up the composers of said show. Is it a Lesser and Low show?
Hang on.
It's based on... wow, they hide all the big information on...
Frank Loesser.
Lesser, so it is a Lesser and Low musical. And the widow is, I think she's still alive, or she was alive recently to authorize the rights and give it all there. And she was one of the people that famously has never liked the movie and always
really?
Wants the stage production to be put back on because, and I don't remember which of the men she was the wife of, but she was heartbroken when knowing that that was her husband's favorite song from the show and it had to be cut. Because he couldn't, he wasn't able to sing it.
Aww.
And it was supposed to come back, and really pushing for being in it was Channing Tatum, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, because he's been wanting to do a musical. He's been itching to either
totally
do stage,
could. Yeah,
and
he's so
he
fun.
Has been the driving force behind getting this made. And now it seems like it may have with this new one that they may go with someone else. Grandage, the director, he did a 2005 stage version starring Ewan McGregor as Skye and someone named Douglas Hodge as Nathan Detroit. One of the things that makes the movie so good is that I thought I was going to be able to pull it out of my ass, but I can't. The original stage version had Adelaide. She's in the movie, and now I can't think of her name. Her name's like Vivian something or other.
Wait, what am I looking for about Adelaide?
Who played Adelaide's Lament? Who played Adelaide in Guys and Dolls?
In the movie?
In the movie.
Wrong website.
But this is one of those ones, and Katie, this was one of her favorites too, because Katie had seen it somewhere and absolutely loved it. And it's one of the best scores out there. The music is just phenomenal. It's just great song after great song. Vivian Blaine was Miss Adelaide, straight from her Broadway triumph, and she became a big star. This was her one big movie. So she's good in that, and Frank Sinatra sounds fantastic, and they get the fugue for tin horns, I got the horse right here, his name is Paul Revere, and there's a guy that says the weather's clear. So really fun that this is going to go, and hopefully they'll stick to it. If not, this is one of the shows I was always hoping my boys Neil and Craig would get to for a live version on TV, because it's got the author of it did the big sets and all the colors, so it's always done in kind of a cartoony way to get you the colors of New York. Just such a beautiful show, and I thought it would be perfect for a perfect family entertainment for their musicals. Yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean, and trust me, Hairspray is a great choice too. That's a great fun show, and Neil and Craig are pretty good about, you know, like when they did with Grease has been redone so many different times, and there's so many different versions of it it's Frankenstein. It's like Cabaret by this point. It's been Frankenstein so many times that no one's ever gonna. If you did do the original version of Grease, the actual stage production of Grease from 1972 or whatever, or the original 67 of Cabaret, you'd be like, "What the fuck
what
am
is
I
this?
Watching?"
Right.
Yeah, where's all the songs I know? And if you're watching Cabaret, why are they singing about that mouse? But Cabaret is coming to LA, and so is and it's coming here to Phoenix.
It's coming here, yeah.
And it's the all the changes made, the 19th time that they Frankenstein Cabaret back together, and it's phenomenal.
Is
if
it?
You've not seen it, it's one of the best musicals going. But it took like 9 tries and 30 years of tinkering with it to get to. Let's get rid of the song about the mouse. And maybe
I have to go after I leave here. I have to go look up the song about the mouse.
Oh yeah, it's called Mishka or something like that. And there's a pineapple song that you're like, I hired a babysitter to hear you sing about a pineapple. Crazy shit.
No, I schedule all my shows on dead weekends.
There you go. So Han Solo, his name is Alden. Oh Jesus.
Oh.
Iron Reich. We'll call him that. The film will cover the events in Han Solo's life that took place prior to his appearance in 1977 Star Wars, but no story details have been revealed.
So wait, the next episode is going to be another prequel?
No, there is another Star Wars coming, but then they're doing, like the next Star Wars will be part 15. This time it's personal,
right.
But they're also starting a Han Solo
electric boogaloo
cut game.
Right.
Adventures through the cut gate. Yes.
Yeah. Not actually.
Without Marty here, I have to talk so much. I can't get a drink in for the love
for
of Jesus.
God, really?
She does take up valuable time. So it is slated for release. They're all like millions of years away, but in galaxies far away.
Far away.
A long time ago.
So the expanded universe was officially decanonized in 2014. That's an odd word. But I guess they're going along with it. The standalone film, expected to be called Han Solo, A Star Wars Story, in keeping with this year's Rogue One, I don't know what that means, is in pre-production. And somewhere it probably gives a release date. Oh, and then in weird news, go ahead.
I feel like I can drink while you talk. I'm going to clear up some nerd lingo over there. with the extended universe being decanonized, that means that they don't anymore, in imagining the Star Wars realm, they don't have to follow the rules in the original trilogy anymore.
Oh, okay.
So they can.
I like that we've gone to the language of the Catholic Church for Star Wars. Like, it's reached that level of.
It was always very Catholic Church. But yeah, the canon is the original 70s trilogy.
Right.
And so the extended universe, like, people have been imagining, like, there's an entire series about the Clone Wars with characters you've never heard of, mm-hmm. and entire storylines that are happening with Clone Wars. And so the extended universe wasn't necessarily considered real until you get rid of the canon. Like, you have to say, okay, like, this is not necessarily gospel before we can believe in all this,
right.
and imagine more things.
Imagine someone else is telling this story, because it's all fables and stuff. So,
right.
yeah, so okay, I'll give you the Catholic Church. We don't have to believe this one Bible. It looks like Sam Mendes is not coming back to the Bond franchise,
okay.
which was the only way that Daniel Craig came back to do Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
Great disappointment. But it suffers like all movies do after you have the best villain of all time. Their next time out, Dexter, pick the Orange is the New Black. Whenever you have the best big bad you've ever had, the next season is always going to seem... the best big bad ever.
Ugh.
And so the season after Trinity looks bad on Dexter, so the movie after Javier Bardem just doesn't look as good. No matter what you do, you don't have your great villain.
You just can't.
So it looks like Daniel Craig will not be coming back. So there are in serious contention now, and in talks is Jamie Bell, who people that know me well know him as Billy Elliot from the movie, one of the greatest movies ever made from the year 2000.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
He is clearly older now. He was 13
I should
at the
hope
time.
So. Yeah.
He's just about 30. He will be the youngest James Bond ever cast.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in serious talks. Idris Elba keeps coming up just to see what kind of hate mail they can get on fan pages.
Right.
Or Idris Elba, I think that's how they pronounce his name. And then throwing her hat in the ring and in a serious bid for, like, because she's filmed some stuff at Pinewood Studios. She knows the family is making James Bond a woman, and Gillian Anderson is actively campaigning to, like, why can't it be a woman?
I was hoping that this was the story, because I've seen it, and I haven't fallen for the clickbait about Lady Bond.
Yeah. And
Lady Bond!
Because now, like, because this is one that I know a little bit about, that the reason that they're able to jump around so much is that they're saying that it's just 007. Like, mm-hmm. you just call him James Bond, but that... It's the title of their license, so you could follow anybody with a 007.
Totally.
So you can mix up the stories. The fact that, you know, he was married 40 years ago, but he's still only 30. Like, clearly we've left a little bit of reality behind.
Right.
Absolutely.
That, what are we, 55 years into the Bond?
And imagine the 007 is a you know, just a title and...
Yeah, just a title.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, she could be... And, hey, James could be a woman's name. You don't know.
Yeah,
you don't know me. So I just think that would be interesting, and I love Gillian Anderson in everything and anything. So I was like, oh, bring one of my favorite movie franchises in with Gillian Anderson? I'm in. And she's good at that fucking British accent. Because at some point she lived in Britain for a while.
So it kind of sunk
so
in.
So she does the Madonna Tina Turner thing where, like, are you British?
Sometimes. Where are you from? We last saw a band.
You know, I had a guy trying a British accent me at the bar the other day, and I looked at him. I was like, so where are you from? And he, like, his face went, like, sheet white, and he was like, oh, no, it's just, I'm just playing with the accent. I'm like, oh, that's good, because it seemed rather muddled.
Oh!
Because he was laying it on really thick, and I finally looked at him. I'm like, so where are you from?
Are you George, Paul, John, or Ringo? Yes. Which one?
Because I feel like I just can't quite place your accent, because I feel like it's three of them.
Calm down, honey. App that hasn't come out yet, the movie. Just calm down.
Oh, just and I love that. Like, when there's a TV show with where that goes on, where, like, okay, your accent's, like, in five different parts of London right now. Where are you pretending you're from? I can't remember which show that's from. And I just watched a movie that I really wanted to see in the movies, but I missed it, and it's on demand right now. It was The Finest Hours. And one of the accents, for people listening from overseas, one of the accents that is just the hardest to pull off and most of the time fails is a Boston accent. So I watched The Finest Hours, which is all supposed to take place not in Boston, but in Massachusetts on the Cape. They're in Chatham, where the Sharks are when I go to P-Town,
mm-hmm.
and the Sharks are always in Chatham. oh my god, the accents were just it like there was parts where I was like, that's rough. Yeah. It's like everybody's trying to pull one off. And and then they have Casey Affleck in there, and I swear to god they put Matt Damon or the Affleck brothers, and who there's another Wahlberg.
Oh.
You know, they take the quadtuplets, whatever that word is, they take those four just to help everybody else maybe land a little closer with mm-hmm. their accent. And the funny thing is that Casey Affleck is playing somebody who's not supposed to be friends. He's on a ship coming into the harbor. But he's clearly the dialogue coach for everyone there because he's the only one that can do it. And it really is funny to watch it because a lot of the people in The Departed, Matt Damon's in it, Mark Wahlberg's in it, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of, they cast a lot of their extras from Boston to keep them
just
on their toes.
Just to keep that accent.
But you can tell, like, Alec Baldwin just stumbles through that accent. He has such a hard time. And I think at some point they try to explain that he's from somewhere else. Well, he moved here from Jersey when he was 3, so clearly he's never going to speak the language. So, you know what I mean? Like, they always have to throw in something as to why they're stumbling
a
through
qualifier.
It.
Yeah.
Why you can't speak the most douchebaggery of all accents.
Douchebaggery.
Because it is.
Douchebuggery. It's Cuntgate. It's Cuntgate with accent.
Cuntgate.
There's that one. Pitch Perfect 3, this time it's personal, Electric Boogaloo, is not going to be out next summer.
I don't know
what the... But they're calling it the Aka sequel, which makes me laugh.
The Aka sequel. Wow.
It was supposed to be August 17, then it was July 17, and now it's set for
Christmas.
So I'm not sure if the reason for it is they're trying to get into some kind of Oscar bait contest, or if they just want to take advantage of kids being off. But the second movie made $288 million worldwide, and it's all women, so you know they paid them nothing. They made this movie for like $25.
Like you do.
And the original movie, which was made for even less because they were all unknowns, made $115 million. This movie is all profit
for Elizabeth Banks. It's making money all day long.
And a big success for Elizabeth Banks, and she produced both of them and she directed the sequel. So she had an international hit on her hands. So by this time, I mean, Anna Kendrick has been... She gets to alternate on the regular between playing 18 and 35. Because
I love that about
she's
her.
Short and cute, but like her age changes constantly. Like she went from up in the air where she was firing people in an entry level job, but clearly in her mid 20s, to being mm-hmm. a college freshman in Pitch Perfect. You're like,
it's perfect.
You just regressed 7 years. Like,
good.
So you got to wonder, like, she's kind of doing the Asian girl thing. Like, what's that line from A Chorus Line where I could still pay kids and I'm 45?
Yeah.
I'm still playing one of the children in The King and I in my 40s. Because I'm 4'10" and Asian, so as long as The King and I is touring. And then the last one, it's on tonight, and I am so sorry I forgot to tape it. Hopefully it'll be on demand. But Maya and Marty, multi-talented and can do just about anything. Their variety show starts tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Pacific and Arizona Time. And I'm really looking forward to it. They tried it last year where she got a one-night-only thing,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of missed the mark. Like, they were trying to do... I don't know what they were aiming for, but they just, like... It just kept missing. I don't know if they were trying to turn it... It just had a weird feel. Like, I just felt like, can we production meeting this one more time? I feel like you missed it.
Okay. And,
like, instead of, like, let her sing. Like, she doesn't have to be a goofy singer. She can kind of sing. And I think that's pretty much it for entertainment. Oh, Transparent has been renewed for season 4 by Amazon.
Oh.
But the one show that I haven't seen if it's been renewed or not is,
mm-hmm.
Amadeus. What's that show called?
Oh, Mozart in the Jungle.
I have not seen anything about a renewal for that.
I'm pretty sure there's a third season coming. Stand by. This is important news here, friends.
If you get a chance, and Anand has done it, if you can find it, and I think it's on demand on PBS, I'm pretty sure you can watch The French Chef with Julia Child.
Oh, that's fun.
And you can watch those cooking shows. And they're
the original ones.
And you can find it, like, what a goofy delight she was. But I've somebody and somebody I think one of some station might be re-airing them too, because I would catch them every once in a while in a little child. That's why everybody could do the accent.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't old enough to like attempt cooking or care what she was doing. I just thought she was some funny lady.
You funny lady.
Yeah, you just some funny lady making shows.
Yeah, Mozart in the Jungle was renewed for a third season.
Oh, good.
They announced it right after the Golden Globes.
Oh, good. I've been very concerned. We probably talked about it on the show, but I was very worried about that because Kara and I were talking about that
last
week.
What are we going to do without the maestro?
That's just such a delightful, delightful, happy show.
We're coming back in just a moment. Kat Carlson's got a segment, and tonight she might be able to get through all of it without us stepping on it. We're not sure, but we have an hour to find out.
Let's talk about something else.
Stay with us, if you will. It's the Q Talk America episode of Loveliness and Fun right here on a Tuesday night. We'll be back right after this.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. It's the beginning of Hour 3. And this breaking news just happening in Q-Talk Studios. We just found out that Al Perkins thought that the Paula Deen cooking show was not real. That her recipes were so ridiculous that there's no way that could have been a real show.
I thought it was a sitcom.
I didn't.
But it was all because Cliff was always, because my friend Cliff would always, like, he would watch old episodes of I Love Lucy. He always had, like, this old shows on that he would laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
And I never watched it because it didn't really interest me, but I just thought she was kind of funny, and it was this southern lady that just talked about butter for a half an hour. So I thought it was like some long Mad TV skit, but I didn't understand cooking shows when I was a kid because like the TV was in the living room and you were in the kitchen cooking. Like, how could you how could you do, like, I just thought you watched this woman cook a meal and hit with that funny voice, and I would just laugh through the whole thing. I didn't understand that. Were you supposed to sit down with a pen and paper? Like, I did not understand the concept of how that got from the living room to the kitchen.
That's very funny. Right.
Like, I didn't know she had cookbooks and you could read along or, like...
Right.
But her voice was so funny, and she was always kind of... Like, it was just... it was just a delightful, happy show to watch. Because she was...
I never watched it.
Oh, you got to catch an episode. They're all over YouTube, too.
We'll see.
She was just sweet and charming and very... very fun. Like, you just wanted to, like, spend a day with her. And I can't remember if she drank on the air.
Oh, she should have.
I think
who knows?
I enjoy people that drink
I can't remember. Oh, my God. Two fat ladies on BBC.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, too.
Now, that one I definitely didn't think was... Were they a dining show? What was two fat ladies? I don't remember if they cooked or just ate. But I would giggle through that one, too.
Yes.
And they were... Weren't they always on, like, a scooter or something? Wasn't it, like, the two of them, like, butts to nuts on a motorcycle?
I just remember seeing them behind the counter in a kitchen just... But they're not the most well-kept ladies. Like, hair is a little fucked up, an old dress that she's got on, but they were funny as hell. Funny as hell.
It's a cooking show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And it was kind of charming. And on that same topic, it's all over. They're almost all on streaming somewhere. The Trip and The Trip 2, this time it's personal, Electric Boogaloo. Cut Gate. So funny. In
I like the personal boogaloo.
Yeah.
You want your boogaloo to be personal.
Yeah, you do. It's my boogaloo. And
I want an impersonal boogaloo.
But The Trip, they take a tour of London to review restaurants, and all they do is do like imitations of Sean Connery. They talk about movies. It's and he ended up making Philomena.
You've talked about this before.
Yeah, I can't think of what the comedian's name is, but... And all they do is talk about movies and flirt with women and do different accents. Like, talk about all the progression of Michael Caine's accent from Alfie to Batman and Sean Connery's accents and stuff like that. And then the second one, they go around Italy. So it's a travelogue movie. You get to see, like, these beautiful locations in Italy. You get their real restaurants that they're going to, and they really are eating the food. They just have a camera on either side while they have improvised, like, they're just having a very organic conversation while they order the food. And there's a little bit of a plot about a girlfriend or a wife who may or may not be joining them. But they are two of the most just delightful movies.
So, like, if we had an editor for this show,
Oh, yeah. Not in the budget.
Well, because we sit here, we have organic conversation, yeah. And we eat.
Somebody could actually make it funny by editing it.
Oh, if only we could afford it.
It's called Cleaning It Up in Post. And this is, speaking of post, I'm sure she's got lovely, riveting things to tell us about Boys and Girls Kat Carlson.
Oh, good Lord. I've got a story that I haven't vetted, but I'll use it anyway that Clayton sent me. I've got a fight over a goat. I've got a man having a shitty day. I've got another lawsuit for Obama. I've got a big announcement from Twitter.
Mm.
I've got a big announcement from Idina Menzel, and that's all I got.
Oh,
well.
So if that takes more than 40 minutes, then we're going to have to make some other shit up.
Kat Carlson.
Wow, I danced. You hit the bell. We were on that. You don't need an editor to get us on that one.
No, choreography we can do.
Yeah.
Ography, we got it. Everything else
all
is
all the All right, we'll start with the unvetted and see where it goes. Mississippi governor says Christians will line up for crucifixions in order to stop LGBT rights.
Jesus Christ.
Well, let them.
Let them. Oh, get plenty of nails.
I kind of don't want to read the rest of the story, because let them.
Let them. No,
just line them up.
Sure.
Line them up.
I like there is there a cutoff point in which they have to line up and be ready to take their...
Well, I'm not sure. Let's find out. In April, Mississippi governor Bill...
Oh, I'm waiting. I'm waiting to find out. I'm just biting my nails off waiting. Well, let's find out.
Oh, if only I could be funny without laughing at my own jokes. Make my stand-up routine a lot better.
Yeah.
In April, Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant signed House Bill 1523 into law, a religious objection bill written so broadly it enables discrimination against LGBT people by giving public and private businesses the right to refuse service to gay couples based on the employer's religious beliefs.
Yes.
Which is why now every outlandish thing I believe is a deeply held personal
belief. Oh, yeah.
Oh, everything.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Deeply held personal belief.
The love I have for washing machines and vacuum cleaners. Yeah. Don't even talk to me.
I tell people all the time.
This
have
macaroni
I ever told
and cheese
you?
Is fat and calorie free because of my deeply held religious belief.
Yes.
So to thank Governor Bryant for his brand new anti-LGBT law, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins presented him with the first ever Samuel Adams Religious Freedom Award.
Oh, Jesus. Don't bring Samuel Adams into this.
What does beer have to do with any of this?
And luckily, they're all written about. All these people that these people bring up are written about. So you can find out, like, if Samuel Adams was actually religious, because so many of them weren't.
So many, yeah.
They were humanists. Like, that's what most of them believed in. They didn't believe in deities. They believed in, like, manifest like destiny and
people,
human. Yeah.
Right. You make your own destiny. Rise up.
Rise up. My brother.
Oh. I just found out that Catherine of Aragon was a humanist and believed in education for women.
Oh, I knew I liked her.
Henry VIII's first wife, yeah.
Yeah. I always liked her. Even right. when she was just sitting by the fireplace for that entire second
Oft
season.
Oft maligned, yeah. Well, I just finished Wolf Hall, so...
Oh,
She has to lay down in bed for a couple episodes of that, too.
I believe it. So you just stick her in a corner for a good long time.
Well, everybody around her is learning.
They don't know what to do. Do we kill her? Do we send her back to Spain? We don't know. Let's see. While introducing the governor, Perkins said that America's elected leaders should be, quote, ministers of God.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. And in return, Bryant, the governor, praised the hate group leader as something of a modern-day David.
No.
I remember in Sunday school reading one of my favorite stories, Governor Bryant said. It was about a giant, a bad giant, who came into a valley one day, and he called to the Israelites, "Send down your champion and let me vanquish him."
In the Valley of Allah. That's how good I know my Bible.
Oh, good for you.
That's where that happens.
We were in that valley, but Tony Perkins was there with us. All of a sudden, we're Mormons. We're just adding modern-day
right,
people
sure.
into it. He was there as surely as our Lord and Savior, as surely as the God of all gods stood there with us. And I can tell you how fortunate we are in this nation and in this organization to have a man of faith and leadership in Tony. God bless you for what you do.
Oh, cunt gate to him. God damn.
Cunt gate to you, sir.
Sir, however you identify.
He babbles on a little more, but the quote about crucifixion comes like this. He says, "They don't know us very well, do they? They don't know that Christians have been persecuted throughout the ages. They don't know that if it takes crucifixion, we will stand in line before abandoning our faith and our belief in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if we are going to stand, now is the time, and this is the place."
That sounds like a musical.
That does.
It does sound like a musical.
This is the moment. It's a place.
We'll do a key change. We'll hire Manilo to play the piano. We'll be fine.
We'll be great.
Potato, potato.
All right. So
I can't even.
I'm sure they're just going to be lining
up.
They're just going to be lining up to climb up on that cross. And
I feel like the people that were lined up to be crucified were prisoners and under heavy guard with like swords and whips and things. I'm pretty sure they weren't there voluntarily.
Yeah, exactly.
There were lions in
I'm quite certain, and I don't know my Bible very well, but I'm going to go with 80% of certainty that most of those people that were in the crucifixion line were not there by choice.
They were like, you know what? I'm kind of wondering what it looks like over in John's yard. Can I get up on the cross for a little while? I just want to see a little further over the horizon.
Is the grass greener?
Like, yeah,
I feel like hypothetically, Jesus is the only one that kind of went there willingly, and even then, I feel like willingly would be just like resigned yourself to the fact that this is happening.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like I don't understand martyrdom.
Oh,
is
no.
my problem? Like why would you ever want to be a martyr to anything? And even in the small, sarcastic sense, I look at some people that are modern-day martyrs and how everything is just a burden on them, and look at how well they carry it, and I think, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, yeah. Get off the cross. We need the wood. For all these other people are going to line up.
Right. All these people are going to line up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anywho.
Speaking of all these people just fighting to get in line, a fight that started over a video of an ornery goat posted on Facebook left one man stabbed and another in handcuffs, according to police.
Oh the humanity.
Officers arrested Kevin P. Sullivan, 28, Friday night at his home and charged him with stabbing a 36-year-old man during a fist fight in the street, according to a police report.
These may or may not be the goats. I just love, for the record.
I love that they're always available for any story with a goat. These three gay for pay goats. Recently escaped from Cunt Gate the musical.
Sullivan was arraigned on Monday in Quincy District Court on a charge of assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. He was ordered held. Hang on, the goats will come in a second.
Oh,
he was ordered held on $2,500 cash bail, which he posted, and he's due back in court July 22nd, according to the county clerk's office. The victim suffered non-life-threatening injuries, said police captain Richard Fuller. Officers responded to multiple 911 calls reporting a fight on C Street just after 7 p.m. on Friday. When they arrived, they found the victim lying on the ground bleeding from wounds to his left side and the back of his right shoulder. The victim identified Sullivan as the man who stabbed him, the report said. Officers found Sullivan in his home with blood on his hands, forearms, and shirt. The victim's girlfriend told police that Sullivan was angry at them because she had shared a video of a goat named Kevin on Facebook.
Goat? Kevin is the one in the middle.
Oh, yes.
The video was about a goat named Kevin who was not nice to other goats in the video.
Oh, that's why that one has the resting bitch face, because she's spending time with Kevin.
A video posted on YouTube with the same name as the one mentioned in the police report is one of several depicting a goat named Kevin. In the video, the goat headbutts other animals and the man holding the camera, who repeatedly refers to the goat using profanity. The video has 1.6 million views. The woman told police that Sullivan believed her posting of the video was, quote, a direct insult towards him and meant that he was a bad father.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, first off, he thinks he's a bad father because now he's seeing it everywhere. You know what I mean?
Oh, and a fight ensued.
When even a goat video makes you think you're a bad father, you're probably
a bad father.
But the story doesn't tell you what the actual what the videos on YouTube is called.
No, what's the video on YouTube called?
Kevin the Cunt. Kevin the Cunt.
Maybe watch?
Makes it even better.
Will our editors...
Oh, God.
That's
fire.
In post, we should show the video of Kevin the Cunt right now.
Let me see if I can just find still pictures of it.
Oh, that's fantastic. And we've seen 100 of those where there's some asshole animal that's just beating up on the other animal. I watch a lot of them about, like, cats attacking dogs, because it's hilarious to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I follow some of your cat videos.
Because some of them are funny.
Yeah.
I only post the really funny ones. I watch a lot of them. I only post the really funny
There is that video going around today of the dog that, like, plays with the hose and runs the yard and plays in the leaves that I swear should be played to depress people, and it might perk you up.
All right.
Just a tiny bit.
Really?
Yeah. It's on Marnie's page.
I love it.
And even I smiled a little bit. I'm just like, God damn it, I've had too much coffee. The dog video got me.
I can't find a picture of Kevin the goat, but I did find this. I don't know if it's relevant or not.
Keep calm and kill goat fuckers. We've always been a G-rated show.
Sure, yes, we are.
Until Cuntgate happened.
No, and then it all went to hell.
Well, I just want to say to all of our Kevin listeners out there.
Both of them.
Kevin the Cunt is not about you.
Exactly. Right.
Please don't stab your neighbor.
No. But we were talking about that yesterday. When you're in a certain frame of mind, and like every song all of a sudden is pertinent to your personal life.
Oh yeah.
Break up with somebody. Like Alanis Morissette or Annie Lennox read your journal and wrote that song.
Yeah.
Like,
break up with somebody or be in love, and every song is about you.
And you may have heard it a billion times, but all of a sudden the message is, I've never heard that message before.
And then you're picking up the phone and you're going, hey, did you hear that? That's us. That's what that is.
That's what I'm saying.
Us, yeah.
Muskrat Love, that's us. Susie and Sam.
Yeah, that's us. I'm just going to fill up my wine glass again. I have to say, though, can I just tell you about mental illness?
Please do.
As I've lived it.
Your personal brand of mental illness?
When I fell down the Brokeback Mountain spiral.
Oh, Lord.
Of my washing shirt. And crying into everyone's
my
soup.
Shirt.
All of a sudden, I was listening to Melissa Manchester's Coming from the Rain. That's how sad my life is. And that was actually a day's event.
Okay.
And I just had in my mind one day, as I'm listening to it, maybe a little drunk, let's play the odds.
Like you do.
That because of the time frame when that came out, because, you know, by the time the movie ends, it's the 70s, mm-hmm. that I just pictured Heath Ledger sitting in a bar listening to Coming from the Rain by Melissa Manchester and just crying about his lost love that he never told her. And I'm like, okay, I'm so far down the rabbit hole of this movie, I've got to stop. Like, I'm imagining future sequels to a movie with only one character.
There's no right or wrong. I'm not here to blame.
No, stop, girl. Oh, my God.
From the rain.
Wish I knew how to quit you.
Because he couldn't save him. He couldn't bring him in from the rain.
That needs to be mixed right in with Don't Cry Out Loud. I mean, it needs to be.
Well, yeah.
It does.
Don't cry out loud. The worst advice you can ever give to somebody. Just keep it inside.
Learn how to hide your feelings.
Yeah.
Sawdust in a circus that left town. Come on.
What? You're a carny? Fix that part of your life.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of coming in from the rain.
I do enjoy a segue.
Oh. Police were called to a Safeway somewhere in the world. Portland, I believe. That's right, Portland. Downtown Portland Safeway. For a report of a male who has defecated in one of the aisles of the store.
Oh, God.
That's right. Store shitters. According to employees.
Shitter's full. We got a shitter on aisle 6.
Right.
Al...
We have to make this a game.
All right.
If he shits in the diaper aisle, is it irony?
No. Sure.
Only on the pull-out couch. According to employees, a male subject was walking around inside the store when he stopped in an aisle, dropped his drawers, and shit on the floor.
Draws.
Mm-hmm. He then continued walking around the store, tracking feces as he until employees were finally... able to get him to leave.
And then they shot him, right? Because the tranquilizer dart, we don't know how he went down.
If they'd have tranquilized him, If they'd have tranquilized him while he was in the moat, he would have drowned and fallen on the feces and drowned the feces as well.
And there was no way to prevent it, because if they shot him or tranquilized him first, he would have shit his pants as his last act anyway. So. Yeah.
I know you'd be surprised, but they're pretty sure this is a homeless guy. The suspect left behind a bag of belongings.
We're not positive. We have to leave
it
at pretty sure.
Homeless in here.
We're going to lay the odds.
Cuntgate.
When questioned by police, he offered this as an excuse. He liked to do whippets.
Oh.
Whip it good.
Yeah. He liked to whip it good. And had been enjoying said whippets in the dairy aisle.
Oh.
I know.
And I know we've probably gone over this 100 times, and please don't take this as a recipe to do drugs at home, but I'm too old for this. What is a whippet? What is that?
That's the...
It's an inhalant, I believe. I've never done one, but I assume... I thought it was an inhalant.
It's got something to do with the Cool Whip
cylinders
can
of nitrous oxide used in making whipped cream.
Mm. Oh.
And there it is. It's just nitrous. Like you get at the dentist.
Yeah.
But out of your whipped cream can.
So it probably makes you a little high and...
A little loopy.
I was trying to help the story here. I was trying to Google...
We used to talk about them in Salt Lake, but weren't quite sure how to do them. So we ended up just eating a lot of whipped cream out of the can.
I still...
That's good. Sometimes I've tried Cheese Whiz. Yeah.
What's really funny is I'm not kidding. Like, the urban legends of, like, household items for drug use in Utah are astounding. Astounding. What was it? Something about bananas. That if you like baked up bananas and then would like smoke the burnt bananas, that then you would get high.
Oh, I vaguely heard something about smoke the peel, right? Something with the peel.
Well, it
or
translated to bananas.
To hot just bananas. Hot bananas. Eat red hot bananas here.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I knew one kid that would take notebook paper and literally like just roll it up as tight as he could and try and smoke it as though it were a cigarette. Like just notebook paper. Just odd things that happen in Utah.
That just sounds like standing next to a forest fire and breathing deeply.
That's exactly.
What are you getting out of this?
Can't imagine that kid, why that kid would go. Terrible.
And so, now I will demonstrate black lungs.
So yeah, somebody somewhere had heard of Whippets, but honest to God, all we ever did was eat ready whip out of a can.
That would be me.
Yeah, and then run around the neighborhood just
now. Can you do this
like
out of an empty can? Because that's what I'm offering you. Because I've kind of finished off the Cool Whip topping.
Well, you just got whip topping everywhere.
I ran into an old friend.
The Whippets are at the bottom. You gotta take all the...
I didn't get his name. Excuse me. That's like two pearl necklace jokes in 2 weeks.
You blew a seal, sir. No, it's just some ice cream.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite monkey, that monkey video with the talking monkeys.
Yeah.
That's my favorite when he's in the bar. And he's, I take my car to a mechanic. What'd he say? I ain't saying blue seal. No, just.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking ice cream.
We used to try to smoke birch leaves when we were kids from Nero.
Oh.
That's fantastic. Kids all over the world. All over the world.
Universal appeal of shit you shouldn't put in your mouth.
Or light on fire and then inhale.
Yeah. I do know from a prank that went terribly, terribly wrong that if you write fuck you on someone's yard in Cheese Whiz, even rain won't wash that away. No. You've got to let that grow and mow it out.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it sticks to grass.
Okay, good to know. Write that down.
Salt will last a whole season. Cheese It'll kill whiz. The grass in the pattern that you pour it in.
Yeah.
So you know.
How many times, in fact, we've covered some stories where opposing teams have gone the night before and poured bleach on a football field.
Yeah.
Oh, we did one. They did a big dick and everything on a.
Oh,
on
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. Does it grow back? Maybe next year.
Not real soon.
Maybe
no.
Next year.
Salt is not so good for growing plants.
Yeah.
And I was not the prankster or the prank-y in that story. It was just a neighborhood that we lived by that you had to drive by the fuck you and Cheese Whiz for a season.
I enjoy. So you turn right at the fuck you.
Yeah.
What?
I'm two doors after the giant Cheese Whiz fuck you. It sounds like a Wisconsin story, but it's not.
It does. How many cans do you think they used to make that? Jesus. Whole case of Cheese Whiz.
Oh, speaking of Cheese Whiz, I got nothing.
Speaking of empty cans, nothing.
Empty cans.
Empty cans and fat asses.
All right.
It's a song from Les Mis. Perhaps you remember it.
For those of you who have figured out Twitter ahead of the rest of us or are thinking of abandoning Facebook in favor of other social media networks, I've actually been exploring just very gently Snapchat recently.
I can't keep. I know. It's too much.
I understand. But
way too much.
If I get rid of the Facebook, then there's a giant void in my life.
There's like 8 to 9 hours a day that I need to fill with something.
Then there's 28 hours a week that I'm just not sure what I'm going to do.
Second job, I don't know.
But if Twitter's your jam, you should be pretty excited, and you probably already know about this. Twitter announces a slight change to one of its most distinctive features. One of the biggest challenges, and companies actually hire people to do this, is you have to make your talking point fit into 140 characters.
Mm-hmm.
common.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's really kind of a bummer when you're trying to tag somebody with a really long username, or you're trying to insert a link or a picture.
Sure.
Twitter's going to fix a little bit of that.
Mm.
Rumors did surface for a little while that Twitter might ease up on their 140 character limit.
No, because that makes you have to write a haiku. Like, you got to work.
Right. You really got to work for it.
Brevity is the soul of wit.
Oh. Yep. But in a blog post, the Twitter senior product manager confirmed that the microblogging site will give people a little more room to express their thoughts. For instance, using links, user handles and replies, or media attachments like photos and GIFs will no longer use up valuable character space.
Mm. Oh, got it.
Thank God for that. So now when you post your link to Twitter, you'll have a little bit more room.
To spread your vileness before right. you link
you'll have a little
Obama's
bit more room
a Nazi.
Sure.
To plan your assassination of whomever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. These features will be rolled out within the next couple months. Another slight change, and if you're a frequent Twitter user, you know that in order for everyone on your feed to see a tweet that begins with another user's handle.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I were to tweet at Clayton McKee, mm-hmm. hey, look at this link, and then put the link, only you would see that.
Oh, okay.
So in order for all of my followers to see that as well, I have to put a character ahead of that. Most people just use a dot. Most people just use a period.
God, I didn't know about that, but thank you. I feel like I've learned something today.
But they're gonna go ahead and fix that as well, so that you don't have to use up a character just so everyone can see it.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I know. And I'm really serious. Like, my Facebook feed, I don't know if it's just the people that are on there or if that's just the culture and the community that's happening on Facebook. I'm really, really close to just giving it up entirely and going to. I occasionally use a website called Buffer. And it's a website and an app where you can stack and schedule posts, and it will post for you automatically.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of
it. So if I'm, say I'm, you know, laying on my couch on a Sunday afternoon, a little bit buzzed, and just surfing all of the social media sites and everything, I can then send them to my Buffer, and instead of posting a bazillion times on Sunday afternoon, it'll stack them and it'll post one on Monday, two
which
on Tuesday.
Which would keep me from blocking people. They're not people I block, but people that I have to unfollow because they put like 30 things up in a day, and I'm like, and then that's I only have to, you know.
Well, and
I have like 2 minutes to sit down at work and like look through Facebook, and really now I'm looking for pictures. Like, I just want to see pictures of what people are doing. Like,
and increasingly in my use of social media, it's if you went to my page, most of what's posted there is work stuff. It's this is what's happening at the bar, and this is the show. I can easily sit down once a month and, you know, schedule all those up for a month.
And my department at work has a page that you just look at, and it comes up on my newsfeed, like, short tonight, short tomorrow night, like, we, you know.
Yeah, the staff at the bar uses their own, like, private page.
Yeah, there's a private page that no one can see, or, like, thank you to my coworkers for an amazing night, or we had a tough night last night. Yeah. If you see somebody, maybe give them a smile and a blowjob. Huh. Might cheer them on.
Might cheer them
on. If you don't want to go to the HR afterwards, maybe just a cat video. So I have to. Yeah. So they're talking in the chat room. The people from California are talking about that. It turns out the Cheese Whiz thing is now being used by like eco terrorists. That they're writing water waster on really green lawns that are obviously not adhering to the water rationing to spoil their lawns.
Well, that
Sarah Palin's
gonna
have something to say about that.
She doesn't want them to waste Cheese Whiz.
Right. Because well, that's one of the four main food groups for her.
I can't remember for what this speech started about, daughter. But don't you remember she went on a whole rant about people in California that are going to have to spray paint their lawns green because of the, you know, Obama fascism won't let them water their lawns? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And then she was like, why they have a whole ocean next to them. Why do they have...
Yeah.
Why are they out of water?
She's the most smartest.
She's the most smartest.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that really is funny. And I have to say, because, you know, I ride my bike around, and sometimes I'm just nosy. Like, I've actually walked up to people's window to look in their houses. I'm that guy.
Oh, that's good.
That's nice.
Al Shutters Perkins.
Again, 500 feet for most schools.
I went for a walk last night and realized that you can stand on the sidewalk and watch my TV in my front window.
Charter
that would
schools.
Happen too if I ever opened up the people come over and they'll open up the shutters and I just passive aggressively just walk up and shut those and like no we don't live in that house. Mm-hmm. I'll open like the back door blinds that sheds light on nothing But that way, it gives you a feeling that maybe there's something open in the house.
Where the smoke alarm was.
There's nothing about the great outdoors. But I have been enjoying how, like, as this neighborhood that we enjoy here has been coming up, how everyone's getting these desert lawns, and they're not just the traditional, like, just throw rocks in it and a couple of pavers. Like, everybody's putting in, like, interesting native plants and cactus and things that can survive, you know, survive in our weather.
Two doors down, Alan's got a beautiful lawn that they've done. It's all that agave plants and, like you said, natural stuff, and it's lovely.
Things that are indigenous to the region.
There's our word, indigenous.
But I have to say, I really like, and I kind of want to send them out to people in California since they live in the desert too, just to see. Like, you could have a really pretty
lawn.
Yeah,
right. And it doesn't have to be.
And I
grass,
do have my
right.
front yard because I don't want to spend the money to tear it all up, and I don't want to I don't want to spend the money. It's already there.
Right.
And our drought's kind of over for a while. We're not in a drought.
I would sacrifice the front lawn and just. I would not mind sacrificing front lawn and then just solely have a back lawn, so you've just got that sanctuary to go on.
And if I had done the house, I would have done desert landscaping in the front and then a backyard. Because the other thing about a front yard that's rocks is you can't enjoy it. It's just to look at. You can't walk across that.
Right.
You're not going to put a lawn chair onto rocks.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you want to do
it. Trying to sit and falls in the dirt.
I mean, it one depends on the size of your rocks. Because, I mean... No, and here's why I say this, because I occasionally do.
Wow.
Well, I know.
That was
and
funny.
Mine are bigger than most. But it's a true story.
That was quite funny.
Thank you.
Oh.
No, I'm the white trash that lives in Scottsdale that I literally will at like rush hour at drive home time. I'll take a lawn chair and a beer out front. I'll just sit there.
Yeah.
I do enjoy
why
that.
Why not? And I live on a main road. I live on Thunderbird Road. Like,
well, you know, my parents' house has a porch, and my sisters have porches. Like, I have a little.
I miss porches.
I have a little thing, I don't know, like a walkway, but with a porch, like it's. I sit on the porch, watch the cars go by, watch people walk their dogs, wave at people,
say hi.
But that's kind of missing in Arizona. That kind of feeling. You don't see it very much because it turns into me and all, you know, 1970s Kmart lawn chair in a. Perhaps a cocktail with an umbrella. I don't
and a
know.
Soundtrack from a movie that nobody else in the neighborhood knows.
Speaking of soundtracks from a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and okay, so Aaron, no, it was not me going into someone else's house and messing their blinds. But and Harrison does. She doesn't do it that much, though, because she knows it drives me crazy with the TV. But you can open up other blinds in the house, as long as I don't see it in the TV.
The end of your kitchen. Sometimes you not the there's the door and then right there by your fridge.
Yeah, sometimes I like sunlight in the kitchen, but I don't do anything in there.
Oh, I just thought you. No, I think you open them just to see when company arrives, like on nights when we gather at your house.
Oh, sometimes I do it just so my house doesn't feel so much like a tomb because there are times prison. When I've been like work sleep. And I'm like, it would be nice to see the out of doors, not from a moving vehicle.
Right. Gotcha.
It's few and far between.
Speaking of few and far between,
I got nothing. I had the great segue and it got shit on. In a follow up on hashtag Give Elsa a Girlfriend.
Oh yeah, Disney.
Idina Menzel is on board.
Oh good. Oh wow.
She just recently celebrated her 45th birthday.
Mazel tov. She, in response to questions about giving Elsa a girlfriend, she said it would be quote great, and her support goes a long way actually in making this mission a reality. For her fans. She says, I think it's great. And Disney's just got to contend with that. And she says, I'll let them figure it out. So she basically said, Disney, go. I'm on board. But you know what I mean? That's a big it's a big endorsement.
Immediately following that statement, Disney released a statement saying, Idina Menzel does not reflect the opinions and views of the Disney Corporation.
Upcoming in the Frozen sequel, Idina Menzel has been replaced.
Right.
And I'm just about to read, because like I said, I'm like a month behind in my Entertainment Weeklies, but there's an article that I just turned the page to about gay comic book characters.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what their names are, because like I said, I just turned the page, but I guess there's a lesbian... Yeah, Rick, Mark, and Steve. And they all have throat pillows and track lighting.
Track lighting, yes.
Throat pillows.
What was I Googling? Oh, gay comic book characters.
Because the Deadpool was the last picture, but there was something like Midnight Rider or something like that. It was a graphic picture of like man on man, and when they were like, and that's character A on top, character B on the bottom, you know what I mean, as they were saying who they were in the pictures.
Well, the first response when you Google gay comic book characters, it seems like a lot of the X-Men are homos.
Well, at first, when you know, it was kind of a, it was kind of a metaphor for outcast,
sure,
gay, different, specially abled, whatever you want to call it,
specially able,
differently abled, or John Travolta. I guess that's another that's another code word for gay.
Let's see. This list has go back. North Star from X-Men, Hulking and Wiccan from the Avengers, Colossus X-Men, Iceman X-Men. Moondragon from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Moondragon. She travels with her own kimonos. Sometimes they get tight.
Mystique and Destiny on X-Men, Karma from X-Men, and Spider-Woman.
Spider-Woman?
I don't know.
Like Kiss of the?
Or just
no, I think different, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like
Aurora was gay and she was leading Molina away.
I don't know what's happening. Yeah.
Okay, so
gays
none
are
of those,
everywhere. Gays are everywhere.
It was called Midnighter. That's what it was called. Midnighter was the one that was pictured in the Entertainment Weekly.
Very nice.
And he was being mounted by a man.
Oh my
by
god!
By a man, mama, like what? Adam or
you know, I'm not her. That Brandon nerd. There was a particularly annoying lesbian that was trying to stay at the bar after closing this weekend.
You sent Sharon was, home.
Trying to get a little kitty cat.
Whoa!
I don't even know. She was just a little odd and just you know, bar closed, lights are on. Literally everyone else has left, and she's looking around like she's stunned, like she's never been in a bar before and doesn't know what closing time means. She's like, "Oh well, I'll just keep you guys company." And I was like, "I'd rather you didn't." And so she starts to make small talk. She's like, "So, are you going to Comic-Con?"
Shut up.
Yeah, seriously. She's like leaning up against the bar after I've already told her I'd rather you didn't keep us company. Like we're good, we're okay. Yeah, wanted to make small talk with Comic-Con, and I was like, "Nope, sure not going to that."
I was going to put it in the chat room, but I sent it to private message my guess as to who it was. Catwoman just makes sense. I don't know what North Star is, but isn't Green Lantern supposed to be black, too? Am I wrong?
It's Emerald Lantern.
Oh. Jade Lantern.
This, I don't think, is the picture that you saw, but I'm like, these are characters now in comic books?
Uh-huh.
That's Tom of Finland.
No, I Googled Midnighter and what's his name? Midnighter and somebody.
Midnighter and like Adam or Steve. No,
Midnighter
or Rick.
And Adam. That's, yeah. So in that picture
came
up. But
Midnighter was in his costume being mounted at the time of the picture.
I'm going to look for
the photo that I saw.
I'm going to look for another.
Yeah, it looks like Green Lantern was the first black superhero to appear in DC Comics.
All right, Jenny's telling us that she watched Grey Garden yesterday. Please tell us if it was the first time you watched it and if you were watching the documentary. Or the HBO movie.
Either way,
it's a win. It's a win.
It is. And if you watch the movie, then go back and watch the documentary, and you'll see how perfectly they
amazingly
did it.
Oh,
it's astounding to realize
and that documentary just kicks you in the ass. Like you're just not ready.
Uh huh. Oh, Apollo, Midnighter and Apollo.
Oh well, one is mounted, clearly mounting the other.
I'm looking for this picture.
Hey now.
Tom of Finland's hot though. I don't like. Even I have to admit to needing to like close the bathroom door when those like. I'd just be a minute.
Right.
I just need to get to the end of this page.
Speaking of the end of this page,
you just keep it going. I like the consistency. I really do.
This will be my last story of this particular shit show, and I think it's one that we could talk about for maybe a minute. 11 states sue the Obama administration over bathroom guidance for transgender students.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. But it was on my list, so here we go.
Okay.
11 states and state officials filed a lawsuit on Wednesday challenging the Obama administration over federal guidance directing schools to allow transgender students to use restrooms and other facilities that match their gender identities. This feels like logic. If you say you're a girl, be a girl, go to the girls' bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? The federal lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas states that the guidance has no basis in law and could cause seismic changes in the operation of the nation's school districts. What are we doing with transgender children currently that this would be so seismic? That's my big question. Like, what are you? What is your policy right now?
Yeah,
is it to make them shit in the hallway? Like,
yeah, where?
What's the policy right now that letting them use facilities that they best identify with is seismic changes?
Right.
I do not understand. State officials have hinted that they might file a legal challenge since the Obama administration released a letter earlier this month from the Justice Department and the Education Department that the federal agency said was in response to questions from schools around the country. There is no room in our schools for discrimination of any kind, including discrimination against transgender students on the basis of their gender, said Attorney General Loretta Lynch. The guidance gives administrators, teachers, and parents the tools they need to protect transgender students from peer harassment and to identify and address unjust school policies. In that letter, two agencies cited Title IX, which prohibits sexual discrimination at educational facilities that receive federal funding, and said that this extended to how schools treat transgender children. The lawsuit filed Wednesday argues that the Obama administration was officially foisting its new version of federal law on schools and accuses...
Foisting?
Foisting, I don't
know.
And cunt accuses...
Cuntgate. This time it's
indeed.
A toilet.
Cuntgate 2. Shitter's full.
That's good.
Oh.
Shitter is full.
So, in case you were wondering who the assholes are that are in this lawsuit, because that's the big headline right there, you're going to be real surprised. It's Alabama.
I feel like Texas should get, their finger in
there. Texas is number one. It's filed in the Texas district.
Honorable mention there.
Texas started this whole shit show, followed by and joined by Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Utah, West Virginia, Wisconsin, as well as the Arizona Department of Education, Maine Governor Paul LePage.
Oh, Paul LePage. If there's a bullet to go around, let's just blaze TV this up.
And just in case the Arizona Department of Education wasn't enough, the Herald School District and another small district not named in this article from Arizona are also included in the lawsuit.
And this is when schools are trying to do this whole thing about not bullying and keeping kids safe in school. But then it's the teachers that are doing the bullying and doing the public shaming of people to, like, not feel comfortable to go to the bathroom. So you're creating, like, all these issues from the top down. Not because students are uncomfortable, because you're uncomfortable at your house thinking about something that's not even affecting you.
I want to say, I think it's unfair to say it's the teachers. You know what?
Not the teachers, I'm sorry.
Administrators.
Administrators, yes.
I was going to say, even a bad teacher is fairly connected to their kids. Like, they spend all day with these kids.
Right, and it's probably caring of their needs and don't want to see them bullied.
Reasonably so. Like, there's going to be bad apples out there, but I would say by and large, teachers are on the side of your kid, whether you believe it or not.
And this is
like school boards and administrators that are the dickheads. And guess
absolutely.
What? School boards, guess what? They are elected. Your local school board is elected. When
but
you
the
show
Bernie
up
supporters
in November,
only have never heard of elections till this year.
Listen, Bernie supporters, I want you to know
that in 2018 there's going to be another election.
Like every 2 years. And sometimes in your state there will be other elections outside of that two-year
pattern.
Sometimes
they're off years.
Right. Sometimes they're even in odd years. Sometimes they're not even in November.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to your mail. But these are things that we can affect very, very easily.
Oh, definitely.
You and 100 of your friends can swing an election at a school board level so fast.
But you can't take anyone seriously when they're saying they're concerned about bullying, when they're condoning the bullying by, like, forcing it from an administrative level. It's so against what they're all trying to say.
Policy bullying is still bullying. Peer bullying is a problem, yes, and it's always going to be a problem.
Oh, policy bullying. You get a cuntgate award for that one.
Why,
that's
thank
good
you.
Times.
Thank you very
policy
much.
Policy bullying.
Well, because that's what it is. It's trying to institute a policy that is bullying these children. It's trying to institute an exclusionary policy. Like, peer bullying
is
absolutely...
We're genital shaming people now, kind of. I mean, it really is. It's just,
I've been ashamed of mine for years.
Well, we've been meaning to talk about it.
Sure.
I don't want to talk about it.
Speaking of being ashamed of your genitals, I'm trying. Aaron from L.A. sent me this. This apparently is the picture, so he sent me this. This is, meanwhile, at his place, and it shows different, you know, shots of them. And then later on, against a table, they're all very busy.
Oh, heavens.
Busy. I don't know. So, I never liked comic books before, but...
Graphic novels.
The last comic
book... Get them off. What does get them off mean?
His pants. I'm pretty sure that's...
Oh, okay.
I think that's what they're talking about.
Now, my problem with reading the comic books is... As you just watched, it happened organically.
You can't follow the...
I don't know what the fuck they're... Because I try to read the Walking Dead ones, but I have to read a recap of it. Because I'm like, I don't get who's talking to who or what dialogue...
The storyboards get confusing.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's almost like those posters in the 90s where you had to like kind of relax your eyes and cross your eyes a little bit to see the whole picture.
What were those called?
I don't even know. Like magic posters or and magic...
The 3D would come out at you?
I could never see them.
Oh!
I could never see them.
I got so good at it, and I would like look forward to going to those stores, and then poof, they disappeared.
I always assumed it was because I was so nearsighted and so like heavily corrected. I don't even know. But I've never seen a single one of them. I think they're all a lie. I also think that we live in the Matrix.
And Anant, I think homophobia and transphobia really hasn't gone away in any of those states that we mentioned. Maine is always the odd duck because they're a different kind of New Englander.
It was very very specific that it was just their governor.
Right. And he's an asshole. I mean, find out about this LePage, right? That's his name.
Paula Page.
He's an ass.
My boyfriend, Rachel, relentlessly rails about him.
Oh, he is one of the worst humans alive. Yeah. But Maine has this very independent... It's a very strange place. When you like, I really was kind of taken aback. I want to go travel through Maine and like meet more people from there because
really
they're so like it's such hard, scrappy living.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not Alaska. You know what I mean? Like it's not the frontier. It's
right.
It's an original place, but it's so hard to live there. And they just seem like tough.
Right on.
Do most of their houses look like this?
Yes.
That's in the Hamptons. Settle down.
But there's just, I've never been able to find the right words to describe, like, the people I saw there. Like, yeah, it was just very hardworking, very like, and it's a hard life. It's freezing fucking cold there with big storms coming through.
Terrible.
And it's tundra and there's not a lot, it's not a big population. I don't know. I just want to know more. It's one of the states that I want to, like, see more of.
Yeah.
Except for it's warm for, like, 3 days.
That's going to be a tough sell.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you, Al. You're not really selling it.
I'm with you on that.
And Annette brings up V for Vendetta, one of my favorite movies.
I love that
movie. I almost went a little lesbo for Natalie Portman in that one.
Clearly.
Oh.
I got a little tingle on the pick taco on that one.
Everyone did.
I thought you were going to say pick tickle. I don't know why I thought pick pickle was going to be your next one.
Well, it kind of all went wrong based on no alcohol consumption at all.
Mm-hmm. Got it. What cat are we?
Nope, that's it.
It was our lounge singer segment.
Oh, no. I just realized that I'm still
what
playing.
What are we listening to?
Coming from the rain.
Is it still? Where did it go? It's still playing over
YouTube
here.
No.
It's gone from that to... Too much heaven over. It's much harder to come back. A review of the song. It was lovely in 1979. that's a review. That way we don't.
Nicely done.
Sure. See what I can do.
Oh, it was lovely. I'm like, no, that song's called Too Much Heaven, isn't it?
Right. No, it was a review.
I know.
So we'll figure it out sometime.
I caught up later.
I know.
Don't make a cut gate. It's not a gate.
It's not a gate.
It's actually not a gate. Would you like to just barrel into our final segment and wrap up this?
Sure, let's do that.
Sure, Nancy, you got a whole thing to come up with a question.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk, because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics, religion, why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Delegate. All right. So, cutlery for India food. All right. Anant says he's calling bullshit on people using cutlery for India food.
Because it's all already mashed up already, or...
I know,
I'm not sure where you're going with
this,
Anant.
You've got the wrong three here. Actually, and Marnie's not much help either, because none of us are really big on Indian food.
I'm not at all. In fairness, I've tried it like twice and thought it was terrible both times. And decided
if I'm not mistaken,
back.
I have a picture of some Indian food. Okay. I mean, it's kind of in its rare form. I don't know, this?
I knew that was coming. I knew.
I wasn't sure.
I knew that was coming.
I had a little bit of a preemptive strike. But I think they do eat goat.
Well, I don't know. Can you chime in on that, please?
Oh, my God.
The three goats, are they alleged dinner?
Or are you supposed to eat it with your hands? Is that a thing? No.
Yes, yeah, I think you're supposed to eat it with your hands.
So I can't use a fork? I call bullshit on I can't use a fork.
Oh, I do too. Or a spork.
And Harrison's been called out on another thing. The blind opener also uses cutlery with Indian food. Harrison, I feel like you're being scolded left and right.
Uh-oh.
So what
who is huh?
What year, what era, what portion of your life would you want to live over again?
Mm. Ooh, wow.
What season?
Gosh, I don't know.
I've
blocked a fair amount of it out.
I think I have two definite ones.
I blocked it out. Let's go a little bit of regression therapy.
No, and that's a true story. I blocked a significant amount out. Gosh, I don't even know. I don't know that I've lived it yet.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I went all existential on you.
Fuck you. Fuck you, cat. Just fuck you. Fuck you in the cunt game.
Well, thank you, Shirley MacLaine.
What chakra
There's
are you
gotta
feeling?
There's got to be something better than this.
I'm going to get out.
I'm going to get out and live it. No, you know what? Any era of my life or any, you know, section that I lived so far, I don't know that I would change. But I don't know that I would want to go through again.
Hmm. Well, what part would you go back and alter?
Well, I said I don't know that I would change it.
Oh, okay. All right.
You learn, you grow, you become the person that you are. And I think knowing that and accepting that is important, but I don't know that I would want to go through it again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Especially not knowing that it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because challenges that you run across and you know, can you imagine some of the challenging things that you've been in your life and just knowing that it's coming? That would be horrible.
Right. No, I get that to a point.
Oh, I never thought about that if you went back to do it again and you knew what was coming.
Like fucking Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
See?
And if you can't alter it.
Like, right, yeah, if you can't change it, if you just go back and live it exactly again.
In 95, I made the wrong decision on this and now I have a chance to change it.
Well, but then there's the butterfly effect. Oh. Then all of a sudden you end up with Ashton Kutcher with no arms and no legs and a tattooed forehead just screaming from the bed. Like, that's not okay either.
Oh, yeah.
That's not okay either.
Blood on a knife or blood on my dick. Yeah. No. Oh, I love that movie. I was like, it's Ashton Kutcher. I guess I have to pick.
That's on the list. That's like top 10 movies that blew my mind.
Little boy from that movie... When Ashton Kutcher's little boy is one that I always tell you to keep your eye on because he's such a good actor. He's in Perks of Being a Wallflower. That's him.
I'm gonna look him up right now.
He had just a couple minutes of that movie, and I'm like, that kid is gonna be a star. He's just so
That movie blew my mind and ruined me for probably life of the whole fantasy of if I could go back and change this, because that's all the movie. He's just trying to go back and save a girl, right? Like girl dies.
The girl.
He's just trying to go back and save the girl, and every time he goes back, it gets a little worse and a little worse, and when he gets back to the present, it's so nightmarish by the time he gets back, because every little change he tries to make
affects something,
so many other things and affects other people in ways that you can't foresee. Like, blew my mind.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
Butterflies.
Can I have a grape in its original form?
Please do, yeah.
Instead of its evolved form.
Fermented and evolved form, yes.
There's both kinds, country and western.
Rhythm and blues.
There is no basement to the Alamo. No.
You should try it with the cheese.
Can you say tortilla?
They are.
Wine and cheese? No, I've never tried that before. How does that taste?
There are two eras that I can think of that I would like to go back to. One, they're both new awakenings or new eras in the life. Right out of high school, when I started, you know, in radio and television, doing those both jobs. That 5-year span was just so much fun, and I had such a blast being right out of high school. My mom had moved here. I was kind of this newfound freedom. Mm-hmm. So that was new and fun. So that would be fun to go back and relive, because I had a hell of a lot of good times, and my grandparents. The other one would be, again, it's an awakening and a new birth when I moved here, and I spent that 10 years working at Winx. I'm like, all of the new excitement and the learning and the freedom and the feeling of being accepted and all that. That was such a good time. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot. I didn't learn a lot. I fucked up a lot later in life, but it's just that was such a exciting new time.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
So that would be fun to kind of go back through and feel some of that again. But then again, but like you said, you know, if you know something's coming, you're like, fuck.
Right.
I'm going to go through this again.
Yeah. That time you got fucked over real bad and it really sucked that time. Now you know it's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't
yeah.
do a damn thing about it. Yeah. So that would kind of suck.
Yeah. Who is Huh?
I don't know who Huh is.
Huh?
Huh.
Company. Okay. I don't know what they're talking about. Now I've lost. They're in two different.
They've lost their fucking mind in the chat room.
Yeah, I've lost that. Cage Baker did a really good series about reparative time that liked a lot called The Company.
So they're listening to Butterfly Effect. They're listening to my rant about Butterfly Effect.
Oh, okay. And repair. And yeah,
they're
okay.
Behind.
Mine would be. There was a summer vacation that I just loved. Like in the Carolinas, like my was. It was a little bit sad because my sisters didn't go for the first time, so I didn't know what I was going to do.
How old would you have been?
Probably 11 or 12.
Oh, so this is with parents. Okay.
Yeah, with my parents, and I was, like, my sisters had decided they were too old to go, didn't need to go, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and I kind of missed my friends. Like, I was leaving people behind, but then it was just, like, adventure after an adventure, and I got my first camera, and I took pictures of the dumbest shit you've ever seen. Like, my mom got the developed, and she was like, yeah, you no more camera. Taking pictures from moving cars, and, you know, just all the things about just kind of exploring on my own, and just the first time I really got to, like, see, touch, taste, and be the lost kid, like... Mm-hmm. Like, I had my bearings when we finally got to, I think we were in Kiri Beach, but when we finally got to Kiri Beach, like, I kind of knew my way from, like, where the motel was to where, like, the arcade was and the beach was, and I could make that little triangle by myself, and my parents were okay with me doing it, and just kind of wandering and seeing everything for the first time. It was such a, like, it was such an exploration for me of, like, there's no one around. I felt safe. Like, I never felt like I had, you know... which I don't know if that would happen today with today's kids.
But, you're right.
Or no one thought I was, you know, my parents were, no one was going to parent shame them. God knows what they were doing. But,
good Lord.
But it was just kind of fun. I had like 10 bucks in my pocket from my dad and I could play at the arcade or I could like put my shorts and t-shirt on the sand and go swim in the ocean if I wanted to. And because they knew I could swim and it was just like one of those like really exciting times. And everywhere we went, like we went to different places and they would just let me kind of like wander and find out what I wanted to do. Like we went to a couple museums, famous people's houses.
Why do I feel like it's Marnie and Aaron playing? Because there's a huh and a what.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Could be.
So I mean, that would just be one of those times where I would like that back of that sense of adventure of like not knowing what was around the next corner and what was going on and like. Talking to people on the beach and just, you know, like everywhere yeah. I went, I just talked to people and met the carnies that were working the skee ball or that's really the only thing I ever played was skee ball overhand.
They tried to get him to leave the arcade several times. Ma'am, would you leave, please? Val.
But it's one of those things that I don't understand the appeal of all that shit. But skee ball was kind of fun. I don't know why. That has a certain appeal to me. Mm-hmm. So I'll wander everywhere and then just go back to the skee ball place. And then I would talk to everybody. Like, I was just one of those people that, you know, the little old lady in training, like, what do you do?
If you walk past a skee ball somewhere in a carnival or somewhere anywhere today, do you still have a little...
Oh, I did. When I was in Maine. When I went to that beach in Maine, I was like, oh, we got to get 10 bucks and quarters and play
and
skee ball
all those
for a little
people.
While. Yeah, and you just... But yeah, I still talked to people, like... Mm-hmm. Because you know it's Maine. Like, a beach community is not going to survive in 3 weeks. We're 3 weeks away from the dead of winter. It's August. So where does this all go? And they're like, it just packs up and leaves. Like, this whole town. Like, this doesn't exist in the winter.
Rolls
like,
up.
No one could live here.
Sure.
The storms are too brutal. And I was like, that's just... So I said, it was like a little...
So
the
weird.
Mists of Avalon kind of thing. But that really was, like, one of those... Just that feeling of being somewhere new and trying new things and just not being afraid of anything. That feeling of immortality and invincibility... That you don't want the spoiler alert that, you know, everything and everyone dies. But at the time, like, it's all just an adventure. Like, mm-hmm. I loved that.
Being alive.
Yeah, and I think of that with every summer. It's like, you got to mm-hmm. do something to kind of, like, try something new and just do something different. Maybe you do it in winter. I don't know. To me, it's always summer because I absolutely hate winter.
All right, I get you.
Anything under 60 degrees, and I'm absolutely miserable.
I don't want
to. I'm the person that shuts down any conversations about bitching. If it's October and it's 115, bitch away.
Right.
When it's June, shut the fuck up or move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's freeways leading out of this city in every direction. Hot here in the summer. We've known this
forever.
Probably since we were a colony or a frontier or a region or what they call it, territory.
Sure.
It's hot here.
Right.
It's old news. Talking about the heat to me until late October, early November is one of those things of like, it's like Buffalo. Well, it's cold and snowing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And again, doors open. There. You can leave.
Yeah. Nobody's keeping you there.
Yeah.
I'm no, like that. If there's snow and ice and cold, like, no. Can't get there. Super sorry.
Gosh.
I just really have no desire. I was talking to you at one point about having to drive in it. And I used to be perfectly fine in it. I would be a little concerned, I think, now. If somebody said, drop me in the middle of somewhere and I was in snow and ice, I would be a little bit, okay, we're going to have to think about this for a minute and start again. As opposed to back in the day, I just jumped in the car and took off and I knew how to manage and, you know, how to maintain your speed.
Now
I just
consider myself homebound.
Oh my
right.
I had a death trap of a truck that I had no kind of fear in and just would fishtail my way through anything. No. And
I mean, I did a donut through an intersection one time, like completely spun through, watching the cars coming, no one hit me, continued straight
carried
through
right
and
along.
All right, there we go, and we're still alive,
survived that.
And it was during Terms of Endearment. That's how long that movie was. Wow. An entire blizzard moved in before that movie ended. And that was...
I thought you meant the spin was the entire movie.
No. But
it's a long spin.
But we walked into Terms of Endearment on a rather pleasant winter night and walked out to, like...
Oh, I see.
Icy roads and storm conditions. And we tried to apply... I tried to apply the brakes. I'd only had my driver's license for maybe a month. I think that movie came out like a month. And we literally just donutted through one of the busiest intersections in Niagara Falls, and we just watched the cars on all sides, like, as everybody managed to stop but us. And the car ended up facing the right way, and we just continued driving, and I dropped my friend off at home, and she was, like, crying, and we waved at her mother, and she's like, we can never tell this story. She will never let me in a car with you. And I'm like, I wouldn't let me in a car with me. Like, right. What the fuck? That's when we started calling any driving in the winter brushes with death.
Yeah.
That's where that phrase comes from. Brushes with death.
Gotcha.
And now winter driving, it's just a no.
I took my driving test in a snowstorm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was starting to snow like crazy. And because my birthday's in December.
Hmm.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. So it was like really starting to come down. And, you know, my dad was like, well, maybe we should come back another day. And I was like, no, we're not.
Yeah.
You know, you're 16, getting your driver's license. Yeah. We're not coming back.
If I can make it here, I can make it anywhere.
Atta girl.
If I can drive in this shit, I can drive in your dry pavement. Fuck you.
For real.
I can see that.
Yeah.
And Aaron's talking about LA being a lot hotter in the last few decades because of the heat island effect.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't, like, Arizona to me has been the same.
Yeah, I don't think it's
temperature. I mean, we did have that one summer where it hit 122, 124, but that was 91, and we all lived.
Yeah.
It gets hot here.
It does get hot. And then after a while, when you have so many consecutive days at once, you're like, okay, I'm
done.
And
we've had those summers where it's like 100 and some days at 100 degrees.
Right.
And it gets relentless.
Right.
And you get a little bitchy because you're sweating standing still. But
exactly. But you just learn to deal. And then all of a sudden, there's that one day of reprise when all of a sudden it's 97. Yeah. You're like, oh, winter's coming.
But it has absolutely never been cool.
And it always happens in the beginning of September. The first 2 weeks of September, you get that first day.
Nope.
Because by the time August is over, I'm almost at murder standpoint because I've been dealing with all these grumpy hot people all summer.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
People that move here for the first time, I'm like, the end of September, midday at a gas station, you're taking your life in your own hands.
Totally.
Because you're outside on black pavement, you're holding onto gas.
Metal. Right.
Yeah.
Pumping in the island that's supposed to provide shade is providing shade somewhere else in the universe.
Right,
but
the
not
blast
there.
Furnace wind is coming through you. It doesn't matter.
To address Aaron's heat island shenanigans, and I'm just, and it, you know, it's true. Things seem warmer because we're just getting older and grumpier about it. The heat island and that urbanization, that concrete holding the heat in, it happens at night. The problem is, in the desert, it gets hot during the day, and then without the concrete, it cools off at night.
Yeah.
If you read, I mean, I've read all the genres in the world, and I was big into Westerns for a while.
Country and Western?
Both kinds.
Got it.
Or rhythm and blues.
Yeah. But, you know, novels and stories about the Old West, and the common theme is, as far as weather goes and climate, it's always, like, blazing, blistering hot in the day and then freezing cold at night, we don't have that cool down anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the concrete does hold the heat in, but I don't think it is like scaling itself up and up and up and up.
No, I'm
yeah.
And Arizona nights,
according to the southwestclimatechange.org,
Arizona nights are the greatest thing that's ever happened in the summer.
Yeah, yeah, they're so still good. Even though
without
it's warm,
the sun,
it's still
like, because it's warm and pleasant and
mm-hmm.
that sexy little breeze and you're a little glisteny, but
and it's dry, like there's no humidity, like what I just went through in.
Night swimming is our favorite
thing. Sandy, oh yeah.
When it gets hot enough to night swim, we can turn on the light.
Nights here in Arizona are the selling, like, when I first moved here, I moved here the first day of summer because I'm an asshole. And I gotta tell
you, because you wanted to get the hard parts.
I was sold on those Glen Campbell inspired southern nights.
Mm.
But desert nights, it's just gorgeous here.
Agreed. I enjoy where we live. I hope you enjoy where you live. And you've managed to do another thing, and that's kill 3 hours. Of
maybe.
Are you watching the Weather Channel?
Harrison, it's rarely humid. And, oh, but you know what? You've been here twice, and we've had more rain here this last 4 months than we've had in ages. So it probably has been more humid. We've had more rain in the last 2 years than I've seen in 30 years of living
and
here.
And Harrison, I was just speaking of last weekend in L.A. walking around forgetting that you walk 20 feet for a fat white guy like me, and all of a sudden you're like, Jesus Christ, I'm wringing wet. That's what I meant. It's all right. Oh my gosh, well thanks everybody for joining us. It was just the three of us. We managed to pull it off rather unscathed. I think we did well, don't you?
Yeah.
Change the sign!
Oh no, I fucked up earlier. I actually did. It's all right. Well,
as
we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will see you next Tuesday!
I was eating.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.